You guys ready to start this? Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 10th annual lightsaber choreography competition. I was going to wait for the applause. Yay!
Oh, we're applauding?
Yay, yeah, we're doing a thing here. We're going to be doing the judging here. This is Down in Front's third year of doing the judging, if I am not mistaken. And it's going to be the best one ever because we have the most entries, highest quality across the board, and the most people on the panel, which brings us to myself, as always, Teague Christie. Over there, a judge, Michael Dorkman Scott.
Hello.
From the RVD, RVD2, and all the fan films that ever needed rotoscoping universe. Pan on over, we got Trey the Amazing Stokes.
Hi, what's up?
Who is the creator of Pink 5, Arc on Hulu, and the director of Asylum's 2010 Moby Dick.
Thank you.
What up? Next name is Brian William Fenifter from The Injured Stormtrooper.
Greetings.
Thanksgiving with the Krantzes, A Lost Hope, and appearing in 2010 Moby Dick
several times.
Moving down the line, we've got Eddie the Eddie Doty.
That's me, indeed.
World famous editor, fight choreographer, everything, including, weren't you the stunt coordinator for Return of Pink 5?
Still am, apparently.
Cool.
He will always be.
Knows his lightsaber shit.
In perpetuity.
Next to Eddie, we got Ryan the Weber Weber.
Howdy.
Nobody calls him that. He's also from Ryan vs. Dorkman, Ryan vs. Dorkman 2. Also, Ryan vs. Brandon. Ryan versus Brandon 2. Am I forgetting, like, sort of, am I forgetting orientations?
Brandon versus Godzilla.
There's a bunch of them.
No, it doesn't, like, crossover any.
And to complete the circle, it's Brandon Flight. Hello. From Ryan versus Brandon, Ryan versus Brandon 2, and The Contenders, right?
Yeah.
Which is another one that shows up in all those little best of lists. So this is your judging panel for the year. And our entries are laid out on our stream here. You're going to be seeing a stream of the entries that's going to be showing our lower third, indicating who is talking, just so you can keep up with all these voices. And as we play through them, we're going to just run commentary on them. We're going to save the judging until the end. Once we've gone through everyone's entry, we're going to talk about the contest at large. We're going to take a five-minute break, come back, and tell you who won. Now, in the middle of this whole thing, we are going to have an intermission. It was asked that we could have an intermission so that we can, you know, not only us, but you guys can pee and not be on the edge of your seat wondering what you're missing.
You guys don't have a catheter in? Or?
No, I mean, I do. I figured everyone did.
I'm taking this seriously.
Any case.
It's the third year of this. Come on.
What do we have, like 18, 19 entries this year? So we're probably going to take a break around entry 9 or 10, something like that. Yep. So with that all in mind, are you guys ready to judge yourselves some lightsaber choreography? Yay. Cool. Now let's, someone who's been here and judged a few years, can someone explain what you're judging on, what your criteria is? Someone? Eddie, Ryan, Dorkman? Anyone?
Okay.
What are the criteria?
Well, it's tricky. I mean, obviously this is a choreography competition first and foremost. So for me personally, I'm judging primarily on choreography. That being said, to me, choreography means not only what you're doing with the lightsabers, but also what you're doing physically, how you're kind of utilizing the space of wherever you may be. The camera work to me is an integral part of choreography. The camera is basically a third or fourth or fifth or however many you have, combatant in my view for really good choreography. But you know, production value helps, but that's certainly not the primary thing that I'm tending to judge on.
The main challenge to the judges is to try to divorce the sort of production value of the film from the actual choreography itself. That is to say, there should be able to be entries that aren't really, really polished looking, they have no effects, they're not shot really great, but you can still look at it and judge the choreography for what it is and, you know, and go from there.
Yeah, so. I mean, the like I said, the camera work to me is part of the choreography, but if there's really good camera work, but the choreography of the actual lightsabers is not necessarily there, then that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, certainly.
Cool. So here's how this is going to work. We are going to be streaming these entries, so you don't have to go over to YouTube and sync them up. But if you wish to, I'm going to be doing a 3-2-1 unpause for each of them. That is to say, when I say unpause, in fact, if you want to be real specific, when I say the P sound in unpause, it's called a plosive. You're going to press play at the very beginning of your YouTube video, and it'll sync right up with us.
So do they know where to go and pull up these YouTube videos? Are they all public now? And
yeah, they've all been online. In fact, one of them has been listed on Reddit.
Yeah, I'm trying to look that up so I can just see what people
It was on
saying.
Reddit R Videos the other day.
R Videos, okay.
Yeah. When I checked this morning, it was on page 4 now. Your moment of fame is done. Anyway, let's get started. So we're going to start at the beginning, which is a very good place to start, with Dmitry Kubishkin. You guys ready to go? If you're on YouTube, get up to the beginning of that YouTube video. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, unpause. And we're in. Ricky Elliott did the intro, as he has seemed to do every single year.
I really like the intro this year, I gotta say.
It's good stuff. It's got
an X-Men first class vault feel to it.
It's classy.
So this is a nice logo. What we're looking at is a nice logo here. Although it does feel kind of proper to start the whole thing off with this fake 20th Century Fox thing. I mean, that's nice. It does have it gives it a little bit of gravitas, even if it's fake gravitas.
It's like the same thing in, you know, like
artificial gravitas.
Full on fan films that, like, it could be the worst thing ever, but it still has that long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And guess what? You still get kind of stoked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so divisive.
Unless the font is wrong. God. All right, so we're talking about Dmitry Kubishkin here. What are we seeing with this entry? People walking.
Well, yeah, people walking. That is the thing. I'm not quite sure, and I'm not picking on Dmitry because basically everyone does it every year. Mm-hmm. It's like we don't need a minute and a half of them walking or running or trying to just get to it.
It really is a little long-winded. Yeah.
I mean, this one's not that long. I'm just saying. As a general note.
This is not the worst offender.
Yeah.
The sabers look nice.
Yeah.
I would generally say you don't have to overthink your motivation. You can just have two guys on a field. I don't like you. I don't like you either. That's fine. You don't have to do some sort of, you know, preamble thing. If the fight is entertaining enough, you can get right into it.
I agree with that. The point I would add is make sure that the relationship is clear. There's so many, and again, it's one of those things that happens every year where it's the banging stick phenomenon where you clearly are not trying to actually hit the other person, which if you set up the scenario right, and there's a couple in there that do this where it's clear that the two characters are not actually trying to kill each other, fine. But if the scenario, and we have no reason to think otherwise, if the scenario is these two people are trying to kill each other and they're clearly not taking opportunities that they would otherwise, then that, to me, does impact the choreography.
One small criticism I have of this one so far is there seems to be just the gentleman with the single saber versus the dual saber. There was a lot of waiting, just waiting for the other guy to catch up. I would say, you kind of always have to be in motion, or at least you have to perform as if there was a thought process behind what you're doing. You can't just sort of wait for the other guy. Now, if you want to go for something where the other guy is just sort of toying with him and is just sort of, allowing the guy to overextend, that's fine, but you have to be conscious of how that, presents itself on screen.
Yeah, there have been moments in this one where it feels, like you said, very much, not just waiting, but sort of, if the kind of artifice of the choreography comes out, because it's like, I'm going to hold my lightsaber here so you can hit it three times, as opposed to feeling like that he's actually trying to defend or attack or anything like that.
You can feel the intent or lack thereof in that performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like normal acting in the sense that if you can tell that the person is acting as hard as they can, then you see the artifice behind it. And it's really, you should never have that thought. You should never see behind that curtain.
You love William
curtain.
Shatner.
Yes, but ironically. so, it should, the key aspect of choreography, just like regular acting, is it feels like, a sincere fight or a sincere interaction between two human beings that hasn't been planned out beforehand.
And, well, this is something we'll probably touch on a lot as we are wont to do in these things, but every move should have the intention to kill. I mean, these guys are fighting presumptively to the death unless your story dictates otherwise. Every move should have the intention to land. Therefore, the defender should have every intention to defend, and every movement in those beats has to be designed clearly for that. Every part of the body has to be designed towards delivering the intention to either attack or to defend an attack.
Indeed.
Cool. Yeah.
I just want to say that was really cool, solid, good VFX. I don't know. It's cool. I like it.
Thank you, nice. Brandon.
Cool. Now let's go around the room real quick. Does anyone have anything they want to add to this? Any like critiques or anything like that, just in general, before we move on?
General, and again, this is a general note for not just this entry, but it happens in other entries, but this happens to be the first one. If you're dual wielding lightsabers, like one in each hand as opposed to a single staff, part of the point of that is that you've got a lightsaber in each hand so you can do different things. A lot of times I end up seeing they're swinging both in the same direction at the same time, and they might as well be using a single lightsaber. And so it makes it's not utilizing the full potential of that kind of weapon.
It could be used for effect, I think, because it's like, oh, it'll appear at least twice as strong, or if you're trying to deliver some sort of really strong blow. But it has to be used sort of sparingly.
Yes. Yeah.
Fair enough. Cool. You guys ready to move on to the next one here?
Anyone else? Anything else?
Anyone else got anything to add to that? Wow. Kicking ass. All right. And what we're going to do is we're going to transfer over to Joel Lucas. You're at the beginning of the YouTube video if you wish to sync up. 3, 2, 1, unpause. Damn it, Ricky. We're going to be watching this. This is his secret way of getting his thing seen a lot, is he puts it on the beginning of every entry. This is how he rakes up the YouTube views. Now, this is the one called Jedi.
Jedi, yes.
Yeah. So we got a lot of influences going on here.
This is the samurai one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's cool. Now, this is a sort of a counterexample where this has an intro that, you know, is not brief, but it's actually very economic and important because the setup between the relationships of these characters really are going to be relevant to the how they actually, you know, engage each other in this fight. And I thought that was really useful. More than just, oh, two people are fighting, and it's just how exactly are they bashing sticks? This one, there's, you know, a lot of character that's instilled into, you know, these folks and how they're going to be fighting and all that stuff. And it also kind of gets you, you know, revved up and sort of behind one or the other. Like, you actually can kind of have an opinion about them aside from just how they look and how they perform, so...
We're still waiting for some lightsaber action here.
Yep.
And any of the shooters on the panel want to talk about the cinematography of this one?
Nobody here is a professional.
Nobody here is a professional cinematographer.
I think it's an interesting choice. I don't necessarily mind that it's black and white. I mean, that's a cool, interesting choice.
Plus, it saves you all that time with color balance.
It does. In something like this, I don't mind adding a story or, you know, a larger picture to it, but the larger picture of this doesn't really work for me. I think it's mostly the acting. I'm sorry, guys, but it's
not adding up.
It's just not there.
And there's also a short film just in general. I thought it was, you know, well done and cool, and you know, it's nice. We see so many things that are just, you know, people walking up to each other and fighting. It's nice to see something that's actually, you know, a full-on story, and it's set in the Star Wars universe and stuff, and I kind of like that. And also, I like that it is black and white, and when they get to the saber action, the sabers aren't rendered in color. I kept waiting, oh man, I hope these aren't
like... Over the going to Schindler's List to this thing.
Yeah.
Although, in terms of story, there is a big conservation of ninjutsu problem here going on. He's like, there's 20 Jedi that he's going to have to fight, and it's going to be amazing, and he just cuts them all down.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I kind of like that because, I mean, at the end of the day, the fight should just be another sort of vehicle for a story. And I like the fact that you need to set up your bad guy. And I'm of the opinion your bad guy most of the time needs to be very strong and needs to, in some ways, be stronger than your protagonist because you want that tension. I mean, exceptions obviously exist, but I think setting him up in such a way where you buy him as a threat, I like that. I like that it comes down to one dude. It's classic, you know, fight storytelling in the sense that.
Well, I agree with that. I don't agree that it sets him up as a badass dude because the crowd of Jedi don't give him an issue.
Right.
So it's
your beef is more with the execution.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it literally is the conservation of ninjutsu trope, which is, you know, if you have to fight a ninja one on one, it's going to be this epic battle. But if you have to fight, you know, 30 or 50 ninjas, then you, for the sake of screen economy, you have to cut through them all like that.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, multiple attackers, it's tough to choreograph. Not because of what you're doing one-on-one. It's the guys on the periphery and making them look like not complete, incompetent, and nincompoops.
It's the classic trope. It's like, guys, if we rush him at once, I think we'll take him. You know, why aren't we doing that?
That's my main sort of problem. I mean, I like everything that happens sort of on paper, but to me, you know, when you got the big crowd and the guys are kind of waiting around to jump in, I don't usually buy it as, oh, they're waiting for the opportune time.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, nah, they're...
If they all threw their lightsabers at him, they'd probably get it.
Right, exactly.
You know, I don't think he could block all that. From a storytelling, it's purely a storytelling thing. I mean, and a filmmaking thing. My first thought was, wow, they got a lot of guys out there in outfits to do that whole scene. That's impressive. But from the standpoint of the film, I think I do agree with the idea of, you know, make the bad guy as bad as possible so you are afraid of him and you understand the stakes. I think he did whatever he did at the beginning with his like dust cloud thing. It's like, I think story wise, yes, you lose a lot of cool choreography, but story wise, and I'm only talking story, I would have just had him like, you know, whatever that was, that kills them all. Oh yeah, you got 20 guys. Blam! Now it's just you. Let's do this.
Or while
yeah, that's
blinded,
how bad the bad guy is.
Or while they're blinded, he force runs between all of them.
Exactly. Just you know, it's over. Yeah, yeah. It's like that's how bad this guy is.
I do want to give a quick shout out. I did appreciate at the beginning sort of the good guy because he's in white and I can tell. Like using traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu because Japanese jiu-jitsu originally came as a way for samurais to defend themselves. You know, when they did not have their blades drawn, so it was meant primarily to handle an armed attacker, and they do that very well. That particular technique right there, it's not really anything. It's kind of like a half kata hajime, but it's not really like, I don't know, it's not executed properly. But I applaud the effort towards incorporating this and staying true to the motive of the story. Ooh. And the theme and the aesthetic.
Talk fighting to me, Eddie. Ooh.
I agree. And it's this, they're actually, this is not the only one. There are several entries this year where I kind of, the idea of it and what they're trying to do I really, really like, but in one way or another the execution kind of doesn't quite, you know, fulfill it perfectly. And I think this one's for the most part really good, and I applaud just doing a cool thing like this that's got some style, it's got, you know, more character than it usually has, and it's got a, you know, it's trying to do a thing, you know. And I think for the most part I end up liking that more than I end up being annoyed by watching it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, ultimately it comes down to what we talked about at the beginning, which is, are you judging choreography or are you judging the production values and stuff like that? Because if this were a short film competition, you know, that would be one thing, and this would definitely be, you know, one of the front runners. But
and that's what we have to keep in mind.
Yeah, and but the question is in this case specifically about the choreography and how that settles into everything else.
So overall critiques for the fight, anyone got anything to contribute just in terms of things they could do better next time?
Yeah, Brandon was...
Oh, I was just going to say as a side note, I actually really like the location too. Like, yeah. It's one of the more unique ones, as simple as it is.
I was going to say the effort is there, I think, and there's a lot to like about it. I think just, you know, tighten the lug nuts down a little bit more in sort of every little way. Just make the technique a little tighter, make the dialogue, make the acting a little tighter, make the production design a little tighter, and you've really got something. But keep going in that direction, and I think you're almost there. Like it's really like on the verge of being something extraordinarily special. So.
Cool. Ready to move on?
Yep.
We're plowing through these things this year, man. We got more entries. Anyway, so we're gonna swing on over to Mikhail Fedotov. You're at the beginning of your YouTube video, like I am. 3, 2, 1, unpause.
Are all our entries from Russia this year? Is this like an outsourcing kind of a thing, or? They're shipping American lightsaber jobs overseas.
Well, last year,
happening?
It was Konstantin Razumnov who won, wasn't
yeah.
it? I think he was from Russia.
You just automatically get the great location if you're in, you know, the former Soviet Union.
Ah, yes, this one.
Now, this brings straight to the front what we were just earlier saying about how you don't necessarily need good camera work. And that's true, but
you
yeah.
got that in stereo from...
If you're going to do that, then you really have to take the choreography aside from the if you're going to take the camera work out of the choreography equation, what's left in the choreography equation has to be really, really significant. And this feels, and may very well be, I get the sense this is
live sparring. That's what I thought too.
It feels like live sparring, which is great. There's good intensity and intent and stuff like that, but it feels very kind of flaily. It's like because you don't quite know what the other person's going to do, so you'll go up when the other person goes down and stuff like that. And obviously, even in the choreographed duel, you want to make it look like you don't know what the other person's going to
right.
do, but you need that for it to be a little bit tighter and to flow a little bit better. Because the other thing that happens in live sparring is that people will tend to settle into their favorite moves mm-hmm. and their favorite combos, and so it then becomes very kind of repetitive.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I was going to say, live sparring, if you watch the excellent making of Ryan versus Brandon 2, you'll see that live sparring is a great way.
Yeah, that got thrown down just now. What up?
Live sparring is a really good way for brainstorming. Live sparring is a really good way. I absolutely encourage people to live spar, film it, and look and say, hey, that was good. That was a nice beat. Or, man, that was awful. Let's never do that again. But it's a great way to come up with ideas, but I wouldn't commit that as like an actual quote choreographed piece.
I maybe I should hang out with you guys. I don't think I've ever live sparred with this as many successful hits. but so I do think that there is at least a large component of this that is choreographed. But that just brings us closer to the point that I'll use this one as an example to make, which is that here we have everything else sort of dissolved away into we're just watching choreography in its purest form. And to me, especially for something at the length that we're looking at it here, there really does need to be sort of an arc to it, you know, a story that needs to unfold through it. And not just in terms of like literally, you know, like physically moving through a room and doing things or someone getting injured or things like that. Like as simple as just the idea that there is a progression in the style of the fighting or just purely the intensity. And they make an effort, you know, toward the back third. Then we get a second red lightsaber and then things get a little more energetic, but overall it feels the same from the beginning to the end. And that's the thing that, you know, sort of you're over after just a minute of watching it. And so
You want to see a beginning, a middle, and an end.
You need a progression. You need to tell a bit of a story with it. And I don't think this one does that very effectively.
I'm going to jump in with a technical question. These are practical sabers they're using.
Yeah.
Which is... just from a technical standpoint, also, I'm like,
they're
wow.
They're also from Russia, and in Russia that exists.
They
now.
Have those in Russia, like we always knew.
Also hoverboards,
just like the UFOs.
I think in Russia those are real sabers. Yeah, they have, like those are actual laser swords.
I'm impressed by that. I'm wondering if that maybe affects how hard they're able to hit. But you know, whatever those things are that they're using, but I would love to see this on stage. I want to see this on stage live because this is a live thing, and it's fascinating. And I'm actually probably a little more positive about the overall filmmaking. Oh, there was a cut just there. I'm more positive about the approach on this, you know, because I kind of like the sparsity of it. I recognize that the choreography would be more invigorating if there was cuts and all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't seem to be the goal with this. Whether that, you know, whatever that means to the competition that we're having is one thing. But just looking at this at face value, I really like the way this is set up. Of it's two guys who are kind of just messing around in the gym, but then it goes into this sort of, you know, I think mental picture of what they feel like they're doing or whatever, and then back out of it again. And the fact that it's practical and is being done in continuous takes, I think is fascinating. I think it's, you know, I think it's really well done for what it is.
No, let me be clear. Like what they do, they are doing very well. But for the majority of the duration of while you were talking, they were settled into a repetitive pattern that lasted the entire time.
I would make this shorter.
Yes.
I'm looking at the bar of the scrolling right now going, right. Oh my God.
That's a really good point. I mean, if this thing were 35 seconds long, I think we might actually...
Yeah, it could sustain longer than that even, you know, and many, much more than that. Yeah, you would want to maybe see some cuts, at least to a wide, to a close. But, you know, I like seeing the big wide picture and watch them do their thing for a period of time is fun. Just for the sheer, you know, whether by just luck or proper choices of location, but they've got a reflective floor, they've got windows in the corner, so you see all those interactive reflections are all happening, which totally tell you those things are real. That's not an effect. That's clear. You know, they're being interactively lit, and that's fascinating to look at.
So how'd they do in general? I mean, in terms of delivering a fight and some choreography for us to look at, do you have any critiques or comments or thoughts?
To me, it kind of felt like that might be what a real fight with lightsabers could look like, but it's not like movie pretty, you know. It's not like it, you know, it doesn't feel like a movie fight scene. So I mean, that's kind of, in my opinion, against it. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it goes to what Trey was saying as well. It's more the kind of thing that you would probably want to do in a stage production and in a stage thing, because it'd be great. It'd be great on stage, and you don't want to get too nuts with the choreography because you've only got one take.
Yeah, it's very
so that is a different case, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe these are, you know, stage guys, and that's where that's coming from.
And I think it's just important to note that there is a solid difference between stage combat and film combat, specifically for that reason. Stage combat, everything has to be big, and Trey is absolutely right. If you saw it on the stage, irrespective of the context, yeah, awesome. You know, it's just something to be aware of when it translates to, you know, to something that you do film. But I would say overall, these guys did a good job. Just dial it in and keep going down this path because you're onto something.
Cool. Let's move on to John Sullivan. Get your YouTube video ready if you're at the beginning like I am. Wow, I just screwed the pooch on that one.
Never mind. We got
to
go.
Let's go back to looking at us while I fail. Here, someone talk about Saber Shop Sabers. Somebody. Is anyone qualified? All right, we're good. Sorry. My bad.
All right.
QuickTime is confusing, man.
Ooh, that was close.
He was totally about to do it, too.
All right, you're at the beginning of John Sullivan's Like I Am. 3, 2, 1, unpause. Sorry, John.
See what happens when you do it live?
Yeah, exactly.
One take. One take, people.
Now, this one was interesting. I thought this one had some really interesting storytelling stuff going on in it.
This one is...
It's also really invigorating in the beginning.
Marvin's just got the eye of the tiger right from the top, man.
Oh, man, I just sliced Marvin in the face.
Go ahead. No, I was just gonna. I remember I was watching this the first time. And my kids today with the cameras. Like, we would have killed for a camera to be able to get a picture like this.
Now, that was so funny going through the YouTube videos. It's like all of these have 720p versions.
Yeah, all of these are awesome.
This is Canon T2i, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But
I do like they start to try to get a little more creative, and you know, like the shot where he jumps the thing swinging, and they're starting to get a little interesting. I'm a little unclear as I was watching this the first time. Like, Marvin seems a little sort of stunned or disoriented for a minute there, and gets pushed into the wall and then knocked down, and he looks very defeated and doesn't try to get back up. And then in the next shot, he's like, okay, I'm back up, I'm into it. And I was kind of, it confused things for me a little bit. That little bit's a little funky right there. They don't really look like they're connecting. So.
Yeah, they're definitely, this is good choreography, or at least from a layman, it feels like good choreography, but it definitely feels like there are moments that's jump out at me as being like, okay, I don't quite, that moment clearly doesn't fit, or this moment clearly doesn't fit in an otherwise. Also, is it just me? How do you guys feel about sometimes lightsabers being there and sometimes not? Personally, I find it distracting. Yeah. And I wish, I understand lightsabers take a long
just
time.
Go all or nothing.
Yeah, lightsabers take a long time to do, and sometimes you run out of time, but all or nothing, because when it goes back and forth between shots,
there's an entry later that has just contact flashes, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, which also works for me. Whatever you decide to do, just make sure you're consistent about it. Personally, for me,
well, I mean, clearly this is a case of not having time to roto the sabers, but yeah. But the point is, yes, if you don't have it all rotoed, I think it probably is better to just not have them. Yeah. Although the contact flashes, I think that's a different kind of case, because that does, as long as you are consistent with that, I'm not so bothered by that.
And
the on and off of saber to next, that makes me watch thinking, oh, there's a shot they rotoed and there's a shot they didn't, and I'm not engaged in the thing I'm watching. I'm engaged in the process of how they made the thing that I'm watching.
Mm-hmm. So any general critiques for the whole show there, though?
I would say that I a lot of that, like you pointed out, the middle section where I'm pretty sure it was just air fighting, I'm pretty sure that we're just kind of improvising. And that I think there was definitely a good amount of other choreography. The one thing I would say is, you hear people complain a lot about, the people online who want to critique things, being like, oh, he could have killed him there, he had an opening there. That's going to happen in any fight scene. It's one, but I will say, it's one thing when the fight's going really quickly and it's like, okay, then maybe that person, you can rationalize, maybe that person wouldn't have thought of it. But when the fight is going very slow and there's a lot of time in between, when there's a lot of time in between moves, then it becomes really apparent, okay, mm-hmm. he totally thought about it and chose not to. That's how it feels. He chose not to take that opening for some reason.
Right.
And so it becomes more distracting. So if you're going to, You're going to want to kind of tighten up the choreography, I think, and also practice it so you can do it more quickly, so those kinds of moments stand out less visibly.
You know, it's funny. I almost wish the people from the last fight and these guys would just hang out and just put some... I'm truly, because I think, these guys could benefit from a lot more live sparring and a lot more like, hey, let's actually try to make contact. Let's actually try to... Because I think a lot of creativity will come from that, and I think the other team would benefit from, hey, these are some of the things you can do with a camera to accentuate your choreography. Because I actually did like, by and large, what they did with the camera to accentuate sort of what they were going for. But I think these last two entries sort of would fit together perfectly in sort of elevating everybody.
Interesting.
I like camera work on this one. Like, I think it really helped some fighting that may have not have been as intense as it could have been. But I mean, that's good. That's probably what a fight scene should do, is use the camera in a way that really showcases it well.
Cool. Let's move on to V. Ellie Smith. If you're over on YouTube there, go ahead and pop in your DVD or blurry of V. Ellie Smith's entry. Get to the beginning of YouTube, like I am here. 3, 2, 1, on pause. Ricky!
I like this intro much better than the last one.
Yeah. Oh, this one is way
better.
No.
I mean, like, the one right before that we just watched. Like, this one, I think, was a lot better.
This one's really interesting. This has some very cool storytelling stuff going on in it.
I legit love the premise and the setup of it. I think it's very, very charming.
Also, it's sexy.
Yeah.
And a pretty nice little dolly there. like, hey, we got a track here, folks. That's fun. Maybe it's on top of a toy car. I don't know, but
title of one of the greatest films ever made.
the setup is nice. I almost wish they had gone all the way with it and just had the two characters like run and just like slam into each other face first a couple of times. Or just like these are the yeah, exactly. But just the kids are playing with them. That would have been pretty awesome.
We're about to see a neat little acrobatic, jumpy, flippy thing to avoid the whip, which I like. But there are a number of other times where we're kind of doing show-offy, jumpy, spinny stuff for not a real motivated reason. And that kind of bugs me. But I love it in cases like that where you're actually using it.
Yeah, and I don't know if the whip was rotoed or actually like animated, but either way, good job.
It feels animated to me.
Yeah, I think in a situation like this where you're fighting with someone that has a weapon that has a clear range advantage, flipping away is fine, but flipping with your feet towards her giant weapon, maybe not the best call. Like, just, you know, especially you have a very athletic lead here who can do some really cool stuff. You know, apply a bit more, you know, practical logic to it, and I think it'll pay dividends off.
I feel like from just sort of a story arc aspect to this one, we set up with a declaration that this female character is super powerful, not just in terms of she's got a whip and she's got a saber and she can hold her own, but she's using a lot of force powers. And I kind of thought that was going to sort of come back later and become more relevant, but it ends up being sort of a a little intro thing.
See, I'm on the fence about it because there's very clearly, you know, some logic issues behind this. And yet the setup is, it's actually just a kid playing. So really, given that scenario, you wouldn't expect a lot of story logic
now,
there. So
it's true.
So is that an intentional justification, or is it still just, you know, oversight of storytelling?
It's also a matter of, like, you know, like the urgency of the fight, like how hard do they want to try to kill each other? Like, is that really, are they playing with each other? You know what I mean? It's sort of,
again, right. It goes back to the basics of this. What is the scenario and what are the characters actually trying to do?
Because you absolutely can do films where the intention is not that they're trying to kill each other with every move. And we saw that, I think, a couple competitions.
There are a couple in here that,
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is sort of kind of what we're talking about earlier. It is tough when you have one performer that is clearly much better in terms of fighting than the other person, especially when the person who is better is your good guy. I gotta say, a good job of trying to keep it competitive and to try to keep it believable that she has this much of a challenge for the protagonist. But there's some it's an obvious difference in sort of skill wise. So if you have that, you just have to be conscious of choreographing to whoever is weaker to their strengths. You master weaknesses, you accentuate their strengths. And that's just something to keep in mind when you're dealing with something like this.
Two things. I'm not entirely sure of why the gigantic Neo shockwave when he does the kip up punch down into the floor thing. I think it was, you know, meant to be kind of like revving up for like the Uber conclusion that then we flash cut and kind of, all right, time to go, you know, sort of a thing. But it plays a little funny.
Yeah,
also, when we white out and then we go to the model, like for a second, I thought we just got Shyamalan, and it was like all her fantasy, not the kids.
Ooh, you know? I think that's.
Or is it?
Yeah, I think that's the case of it. Is there's a setup here that really, and it's you guys are kind of saying it in a certain way, really doesn't quite pay off. It's like, okay, well, if this is, you know, if this is a kid playing with action figures, how is that manifested in the fight, you know, or, you know, could we, if you're doing that, like my thought would be like, okay, well, if it was a kid playing with action figures and that was going to be my idea of what the framing story is, then at the end, I would have a completely unrelated character come in, like, you know, Super Mario would come in win the fight, you know, or Godzilla would come in and kill them both or you know, something, exactly. You know, pay off the idea of this is a kid's playing lightsabers in his head, game. You know, what's the end of that? How does that end?
Or to rework it in a way that would require you to change it somewhat is if you don't actually sort of intro with the playing with toys, so you're not
so
to that. So
that,
then
that could work too.
Then
yeah.
the ending exactly.
If
as
you if you had a fight, it could work. It would be risky, but if you had a fight where there were a couple of elements, you go, that was weird. But then at the end, you go, oh, because it was a kid playing with action figures, and he made that happen. And okay, if you could make that work, that would be a great way to do it. Or my thought was like, what if it was two kids playing with action figures, and one was a girl? I was like, I don't want to play action figures with you because you're a girl. And then, but in the fantasy, the girl kicks the guy's ass because it's a fantasy, so she can do whatever she wants. Something like that. Just one more piece of the puzzle I thought it needed.
Something really like the opening of Toy Story 3, where it's just kind of this crazy, you know, mashup of, okay, so it's these two
spoilers.
Fighting, and then Godzilla comes in, and then it's like, it's the beginning of the movie. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you play fun, you have fun with that. You see where that takes you.
In terms of the actual fight itself, I want to just mention that down to the the choreography, I found that this one is like a number of other ones where most of the moves are right equidistant between the two people and between the head and the torso. And the thing about that is when it's all just clanging where if you were to not block it or miss it, you wouldn't hit the other one. That's kind of a problem because, you know, what was the motivation of that strike? You know, you're having a fight. So that's one thing. And then also just sort of the monotony of keeping it right in between. And there's not a lot of stuff that's really high or low or around or, you know, it doesn't really explore, more sort of interesting or intricate choreography. This isn't the worst defender, but this is just the first one that I'm kind of bringing up this note to, and I think there's a fair amount of little pieces in here that could have been just more creative from that standpoint. It's kind of the one step up from left, right, up, down sort of a thing. Yeah,
right on. Anyone else got anything on that, or shall we move on to Albert Kinkle? If you're on your YouTube video, get to the beginning there. It's a funny name. Sorry. It might be Kinkel. I don't know. I'm sorry, Albert. Anyway, so you're at the beginning, like we are here. 3, 2, 1, unpause. Ricky! There's a lot of entries. We're trying to remember what we're looking at. Oh, the prize.
Which one is this?
The prize.
The prize.
Which one is this? The prize, of course.
Oh, this one. Dude, where do you live?
Yeah.
Yeah, neat location.
I want your backyard very badly.
Kinkleville.
Wow.
In reality and on Foursquare.
Yeah.
This is what we have to do when the lightsaber fights don't start early.
We got some real lightsaber magic about to happen through the leaves here that I'm very impressed by.
Yeah,
I just want to point that
holy
out.
Holy crap.
This choreography wise, this has some good stuff. I get the sense that these guys are probably fencers.
Yeah.
In the way that they design the choreography in certain little moments. But I like clever moments like this where, you know, you just go up and grab him and try and get him to cut his own head off.
Get it right to the point.
Yeah.
It is very rhythmic. The technique is solid, the intention is there. Lower body and the upper body is on point. It is just very beat. That's the only thing I would say is that just, you know, massage it into a flow a little bit more. With that said, everything else is more or less working in Kinkletown. I say this out of love. My name is Eddie Doty, for Christ's sakes. Come on.
Yeah, I think there were certain moments where a little earlier they I think right when he gets away from having his own saber up against his neck, they swipe at each other like 3 or 4 times consecutively and they're dodging away from it. That's a moment that could work really well if it were done super, super fast.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's done as a very rhythmic beat, like you were saying, it feels a little more artificial. So, like you said, I think choreography-wise, there's a lot of really clever stuff here. It just needs to be really...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just needs to be amped up, I think.
I think you hit it on the head. It's like, it's sort of the timing of it makes it feel actually rather robotic. And then as soon as you don't feel any sort of the real improvisational or like, you know, you're kind of missing some of the drama of it, you know. And certain little moments are kind of, I think, milked a little too long. Like they can play as much quicker. You know, you'll have time to see it. The swords glow.
The
If anything, the footwork is maybe overthought just a beat, because they literally are mirroring, you know, step forward, step back, step forward, step back on every strike. And part of massaging will, you know, maybe grind some of those moments down a little bit, and some of the footwork will be just a bit more fluid in transition.
Yeah. The choreography I thought was pretty cool and technical, and the camera work really helped it out too. Also, I want to see the sequel where the headless body comes and gets its revenge. I don't know what that
would
be.
I really like that joke. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I guess it was a joke.
No, he was serious, man.
But also, kind of an interesting note, that was a whole fight scene, I think, with fast shutter speed. So, yeah, you don't get motion blurry sabers. Kind of interesting. But yeah, that was cool. I liked it.
Any general notes for those guys if they were to do it again?
I think basically what we already said, just, you know, spend a little more time kind of finessing it so that you can really do it quickly. And if you find yourself, in a situation where you've got, because it's very technical, and if you find yourself in a situation where it's difficult to do it quickly, then it does, it's not a bad thing to alter the choreography here and there to make it flow better. You may want to consider that occasionally. Like, there may be a moment that you're really proud of technically coming up with, but if you can't execute it, it's better to simplify it just slightly so that you can flow from move one to move three instead of trying to hit one, two, and three all.
No one will know what you didn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, other than what you guys already touched upon, I thought it was very simple in a good way. Very just kind of elegant and simple and self-contained and simple in the way that you want to be simple, I think. Because simple is better than being needlessly complex.
You're right on track.
Cool.
Let's move on to Philip.
So faster and more.
Let's move on to Philip.
Yeah.
You totally deserve that.
What's
one.
Your point? Yeah. Good note, all
right? Even a broken director is right twice a day.
Okay. Or something like that.
Lamsdorf. Phil Lamsdorf, I'll call him.
Back overseas.
I'm unsure about that G-R-A-F. I think it's Graf. Yeah. Graf?
You know what we should do next
like
year?
Like the Zeppelin.
We should say like where they're all from, you know? Like,
oh, that'd
like
be kind of fun.
I'm curious. Because
some Americans have weird, funky foreign names, so we can't necessarily
yeah.
know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a problem.
We're the melting pot, man.
Suddenly when we had this immigration thing.
Anyway, let's move on. You're at the beginning of the YouTube video for Phil. 3, 2, 1, on pause.
The fact that there's two P's at the end of Philip tells me he's a foreigner.
Philip. Ricky! Ah, yes, this one.
Oh, this is the gentleman whose YouTube handle is the next Ryan Weber.
Oh. All right.
Bye. Way to suck up.
All right, let's talk.
So, all right, you're talking to Ryan.
Oh,
now.
Dear.
I'm going to give you one. It's actually almost not even a choreography. Well, do you guys want to talk about it as it's happening? And then I'll do this as a recap thing at the end. No, I'll
we'll talk about the choreography while you're on the mic, though. Look at it. Say something.
Yeah. So, no, this is cool. I think for the most part, they're doing a lot of good things. It feels kind of like someone who's early on doing, you know, this is one of their first fights. They're working it out. They're figuring things out. And the things that they're doing right so far are they're moving around a lot. You know, they're traveling, which is nice because you don't, you know, a lot of folks start out just facing each other and then just going at it. And it's very dull. Things like that little grapple are, I like that they're doing it, although the performance was kind of wacky. He sort of just gave up, you know. And I think for the most part, you know, my beefs with this one are mostly performance related. I think that you could potentially take a lot of this stuff and shot a little different, performed a bit different. You would actually come out with something that's, you know, fairly strong.
Yeah, there's some interesting things that I saw going on. At one point, when their sabers first meet, they swing and there's an insert of it hitting up at the top, basically. That was, I'm not sure why they did that. It's an interesting thing to do, but it feels like if you're going to do something like that, don't do it unmotivated. If you're trying to, maybe it's just because they didn't finish the effects and they intended to put sparks and stuff like that. So maybe that.
I have a feeling that's what it is.
Yeah, but even then, it's sort of, okay, when you do something like that, you're giving me the expectation of, okay, the fact that even though it's lightsabers and we know that this is how it works, it's like within the realm of this film, the rules are you hit something and sparks fly. And if you're going to emphasize it like that, I feel like that's meant to come back. And maybe it is because we've right. only got, you know, we got a to be continued and everything. True. But it I don't know. Suddenly you're setting up an expectation that I'm looking for and is not necessarily there. So when you do stuff like that, be aware of what you're telling your audience to expect and understand.
Anything else to say about this guy here?
There's also some, like Ryan says, I think it's very clear that these guys are in the process of working out. There's also some 180 degree issues that jumped out at me personally, which is just a matter of like, nobody really understands the whole 180 rule and all of that crap until you really do it for a while. And just keep working at it and you'll eventually figure it out. But there's a lot of times where the camera jumped that 180 line and it popped out at me and threw me off. In the process of it.
Yeah, Google the 180 rule for filmmaking or cinematography, really.
I would just say, obviously this is a younger guy, he's still learning a lot, but for what he's doing at his age, I think is very good, and you're on a very good path.
Watch
so
him
far.
Be like 39.
Yeah, right. The next room. But
he's been at this for like 20 years.
If I would say, this is kind of like a global note for everybody, but since it kind of jumped out at me at the middle of it, the little grapple sequence, if you're going to grapple and try to control a person with a touch weapon like a saber, which if any time it touches you, you're kind of dead.
It's like Pam Anderson.
Don't control so much the arm, but go for like wrist control. You can Google and YouTube a lot of like wrist control techniques, Ikkyo Sancho, things like that. Like Sorry. No, it's okay. But like or look at like Kali and Eskrima, like things like techniques called like roofing. You know what I mean? Like there's other ways to like that'll just make it a bit more believable, because if you grab at the elbow or at the arm, it's just like, okay, he can still manipulate his wrist and kind of still chop your head off because he is holding a laser sword. But other than that, just sort of that's for everybody, but specifically here because it jumped out at me.
Yeah, I'd agree with most of what's said. I did think there was some really interesting, clever, technical choreography happening, but I think a little more practice and polish could have made it play better. So the one thing I wanted to say, and this is just sort of a blink out to everyone who is getting started and trying to figure this stuff out, because it's actually a specific email question that I get sometimes, which is, they say, how do you, if you're shooting it with one camera, how do you make it look fluid, like it's all continuous, you know? And this entry had a lot of problems with sort of, as you're seeing it, you feel the energy start and stop within each shot. It's like, here's what we're doing in this shot. And then you kind of, you don't have that continuity going from one shot to the next. And so the answer is you just have to do a little bit more before and a little bit after each shot you're doing. So if you've got, you know, moves 1, 2, and 3 in one shot, and then 4, 5, and 6 in the next one, in your first shot, you should do 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. And so that you have that intention and all of that energy heading out of your shot and then coming into the next one. You know, the second shot should start at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. And it's really that simple. But next time you're making your fight, keep that in mind and you'll have a lot better, you know, continuity through it.
Weirdly enough, that's a good tip for animators too. So many people animate where frame one, everything is, nothing is happening yet and everything starts to happen. And you can always spot that in animation if people have done that.
Cool. Shall we move on to David Keener? You're at the beginning of your YouTube video. 3, 2, 1. Unpause, man.
Ricky.
He's always in every video. It's like every video.
I'm getting tired of the logo.
He should recuse himself. Yeah.
This was a really short entry.
Did I blink and miss it?
Yeah, it's over now.
Where are the credits? Yeah. Nice. Okay. No,
that was it. You know, it's like On with the Wind. They have the credits in the beginning.
I liked it.
It's good, short, sweet.
You know.
Yeah. This is Hilltop Duel. Yeah, Hilltop Duel. All right, who wants to go first?
I love this one. I'm really charmed by this one, and I think that's just a good way to put it. Charming. With that,
why do you love it, Eddie?
I dig it. From a technical standpoint, these kids have this insane, almost like I might coin the term patty cake style, which I really dig. But like everything is aimed. I mean, it's not. They're not the hardest hits, but these kids seem to understand better than most people that you don't need to swing a Louisville slugger when it's a laser sword. You know what I mean? Like, these kids just know, and they've got...
Damn, they're fast.
They're very fast. This reminds me a lot of, like, a Chi Sao drill or, like, a Huba drill from Eskrima, and, like, it's just very... These kids are just extraordinarily quick, and they're... Everything is aimed. Like, say what you want. Everything is aimed. There's definitely some unnecessary spinning and flips and stuff, but there's never not one moment where they're not committed to this.
Right. Well, awesome. That's the thing. I mean, It's very fast, and it's fast without being super duper repetitive. You can tell they had to memorize an entire sequence. They're not just doing three or four moves over and over again. They had to memorize a sequence and really get it down so they could do it fast. But like you say, it turns it into feeling more like a drill. That was a really good way to say it. Or I almost felt like it's a juggling act or something. Like it's impressive, but it's not a fight. It's a thing that they're doing together, you know.
That was a really cool movie. Just pulled off.
It's clearly super rehearsed
and very technical.
They're mega fast, and the actual choreography itself is one of the most complex in this batch this year.
And then bicycle chase.
Yeah, but
also, as a note, like, you shouldn't ride bikes without shoes on.
Yeah,
it's just kind of dangerous.
Yeah. I was watching this with Brandon. And he's going, "Where are their parents?"
They live in Peanuts Land.
Yes. Like, but
I gotta say,
where are you going?
As a father, like, this is one of those things where if I caught my 12-year-old son doing, and my son's not 12, but when he becomes 12, if I caught him doing this and he showed this to me, I'd be mad, but then I'd be like,
super proud.
Well done. Yeah. Jesus, don't ever do that again, but good job.
When I was in high school, I made a car chase movie with actual cars. And everyone was kind of like, that was awesome, don't do that. But it was awesome, but don't do that. But it was cool. So, you know, I was already told.
The fact that they're not wearing shoes, this is really, really impressive.
I'm just so worried about
this. So technical and so fast. Like, I don't know what they're fighting with. Is that just super thin wooden dowels or?
Yeah.
Maybe fishing lines?
Fishing.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
Saber fight on bicycles right away already. Honorable mention, special award. That's because I ain't never seen that one before. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's tough. I'm just so glad that, you know, I've got a whole mental picture of how this got made, where like these guys are like, they live four blocks apart and they happen to both be wearing the same Star Wars shirt one day, and now they're friends and they've worked this whole thing out. That's my whole story about this. Don't ruin it for me.
And that's what I think this is. Warner Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna be right in the next Transformers movie.
I think the next thing for these guys to work out is sort of how to how to milk a moment and take their time, because it's like clearly the speed and the energy is not the thing they have trouble with. They've got that covered. So the next thing is sort of, which parts to slow down and which parts to sort of get a little more engaged with and spend time on, and then get in for close-ups and have a little more drama, a little, you know, acting and all that kind of stuff.
I would also say to work on kind of intense, because like we talked about, they're moving and the choreography is clearly designed as strikes to the body, but you don't get a sense that they're, because it's going so fast, it's just here, 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 here. You don't get a sense of the actual intent of an individual move.
I wonder if it's because their sabers were so light.
It's possible, but a lot of that is in the body language and in the performance. And that was the other thing that I was going to say is I think that these guys would be really well served by studying some kind of like martial arts if you can find it, because just the posture and footwork and stuff like that will be really, you got a really great big piece of the puzzle right now, and if you can get like the posture and stuff like that and really learn how to make it look like you're trying to fight as opposed to just being really impressive and hitting all of the beats in a really technical way, that's going to elevate you to the next level.
I can't wait to see if these guys enter next year.
Also, one thing that's kind of cool too is this is probably one of those examples where the camera work isn't super, super sophisticated, and we've kind of knocked that in other entries, but when the performance is that good and when it's that fast and intense, you don't really notice it, so it's kind of cool.
To go off of what Mike said, yeah, you guys definitely have the choreography down. The next piece of the puzzle is the actual acting, more like, of it, is the actual non-verbal, you know, but behavioral acting of intent, of, you know, this is your character, and this is what your character is attempting to do, whether that's kill or humiliate or whatever it is your opponent. So it's more, yeah, I think martial arts would be a great direction to go in. But also, I mean, just study acting itself and study actors who are great with nonverbal moments. Like, that's what's so great about Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones is he has all these great nonverbal moments and behaviors, and Nathan Fillion is very similar in that way.
Jack Sparrow, too.
Sparrow, yeah. So really look at situations where there are actors in those kind of situations where you're getting a feel for their performance and their emotion and their behavior without words. Yeah. And I think that'll be another big piece of the puzzle.
Zarban actually pointed out in chat, study samurai movies, maybe, and I think he's got the right of it.
I would say, and coming off of what Mike said,
or martial arts movies in general, yeah, exactly.
And specifically, pay attention to footwork and just like posture and like how the lower body works and the thoracic cage and the core and like just really get that because your arms are solid. Like what you guys are doing with your speed is incredible. Add a bit more of put a foundation underneath that, and I think that's where the intention comes from. People don't realize, but what you sense in terms of intention of like this guy is coming at you, that comes from your lower body. That comes from how your feet and where your posture and where your weight is distributed.
Yeah, and the shoulders.
That's a really interesting point.
It's not just arms. It's a matter of extending and leaning in and all that stuff. Yeah,
very cool. I like that point Eddie made about the lower half of your body.
That's probably the quickest way to convey power in your moves too.
Yeah, yeah.
Power comes from your hips. Like you don't punch. You don't. In fighting, we call it arm punching. You just hit it. But when you wind up and you've got all that power delivered via your hips, helped by your legs and everything else, that's when that's a punch or that's a kick. That's where the strike is coming from.
Well, your lower body, your legs is where all of your strength is. Your lower body and your legs are much much stronger than your upper body. So to convey that power, you need to use the strongest muscles in your body.
It's your SRB.
Ready to move on here? Let's flip over to Kyron Gray here. We're going to load up Kyron Gray if you're here on YouTube. I hope so. We're going to watch this one. 3, 2, 1, unpause. I wonder if... Oh, yep, Ricky. Ricky! It really does look cool.
Yeah, it's great.
It's funny to make fun of you.
Like, shallowed up the field at the beginning and stuff is super cool.
This one, cool.
That's awesome. Great effects.
Yeah. See, if we were, I will say again, if this were a short film competition, hands down the winner this one, definitely.
As I was watching it, you know, I'm actually technically, we never mentioned this, but I am not judging this year. I don't have a vote because I participated in the entry. But if I were, the thing that you. Like we were talking about before, is trying to sort of keep yourself from getting too like excited about all the effects and that kind of stuff because that's secondary to the choreography. However, the choreography is really good in this too, and I actually think it's mostly very good. But one thing like that we've been sort of circling around in other entries a lot as well is the performances in this one. I think are really good. As soon as this breaks out, it's like you believe this guy's really trying to chop up that other guy. You know, there's a lot of all that sort of the power and intention we've been talking about right here.
Yes.
Looking at it.
Very enthusiastic. Yeah. It's absolutely, like you were saying, in terms of performance, this is absolutely one to study and see why that works in this film compared to some of the others where we said, oh, maybe work on that. I will say... with all of the with everything else that's going on, I think the choreography actually may be the weakest part of this film. I mean, with the caveat that that's like saying, well, that was my least favorite bite of cake, you know. So
too much of the chocolate rose.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think the choreography again, it's a matter of separating kind of what our intention for me. This is a matter of separating what our intention is here today because. As a complete piece, this is really great, and the choreography does its job in telling the story that they're trying to tell. But the choreography is not the star of the piece, and that's kind of where it does its job. It serves its function just as you would want it to. Just if you're going to make a short film and tell a story, but if you're trying to really emphasize the choreography and really show off the choreography, I don't think it's quite that level of. Choreography.
Very important distinction. Yeah, and that's a very important distinction to make because people will say, like, some people even say, like, oh, this is just really simple choreography and what they're doing. Yes, it is, but when they start doing the slow-mo here, you're going to see really sharp technique. Like, fight choreography in slow motion, it's hard to get right because it will amplify your flaws in your technique. So something that may have been tougher to notice, they do a good job here. Like, all these guys have, I think, the choreography to me is very solid. It's not extraordinary or spectacular, but everything is just exceptionally, like, everything is just really, really good in terms of very consistent. One thing I liked is when he hit him with that elbow, it made sense because of the range they were in. Yeah. Too many times guys get really close up with their blades crossed, and one guy will disengage a hand, wind up the punch like it's John Henry's hammer, and then clock him with a fist, and that's not the right range to deliver power. A short elbow is. So, you know, and these guys know their range very well, and that is part of why the intensity works. The actual techniques they're doing aren't the most extravagant, but in my mind, that's okay. It will sort of like prevent you from saying, okay, it's not quite, it doesn't stand out quite as much as some of our other entries.
It's like you guys often say that, you know, about intent, and one of the things, you know, if you compare this, like how many moves are in this versus how many moves are in other people's choreography, this has like 1/10 the move of other things.
I was just noticing
number
that,
of moves,
yeah.
But every move has a point and a beginning, middle, and an end, and I understand, like, okay, I'm going to try and attack this way. It gets blocked that way. Damn. Now I'm going to go the other way. It's not always necessarily about how many moves you can get per second. You know, this, I think this choreography, again, like you were saying, maybe it's not the flashiest, maybe it's not the, you know, the most, oh my gosh, that was such an awesome move, but the choreography completely makes sense and tells exactly the story that's supposed to be told. What's impressive about it.
Yeah, that's actually exactly the point I was going to make. I think part of the reason I respond to it is because I don't feel like there's anything here that doesn't really need to be there. It's all effective and it's, you know, don't waste my time.
Yeah.
Stop wasting my time.
The same thing as all you guys have said, but like exactly like Trey was saying, there's not a moment of this that I don't believe this isn't an actual fight.
This
so
is
even though the choreography may not be as complex or intricate as the other stuff, what's really important to me is, oh yeah, that too.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is gangster as hell. Look at this. That is some cold-blooded
What ultimately matters,
oh my God,
at every moment is the sincerity of it. Do you believe that this is a real situation and that the people in it are genuinely, sincerely trying to do what they're doing? And
I think that wins
the most
gruesome kill award that we've ever seen.
So yeah, I guess if I were voting, I would like, I really want to acknowledge this for all the things that it's doing, but at the same time, it's true, there isn't a lot of actual saber-on-saber choreography in this one, like there are in a...
But, okay, can I just ask a question about the title?
Why is it a
really?
Transformers name?
Well, it's just so archetypal of those titles. I really want to know, this is an honest question in my mind, were you doing that as a joke or not? And if you're not, I apologize, but I really hope you are. Please, yes.
It does kind of put in the back of your mind the thinking that they could pull out Mentos and it could become a commercial. Yeah. Now that is a fan film throwback right there.
Yeah. No, it's way back.
I think I'm kind of like halfway between where Trey is and where Mike is, because I think I'm all for... one of the ones I really liked a couple of years ago was Jedi Pastors, and it was one that played in backwards. Yeah. But that was very
minimal. There was like 8 moves in it.
It was
10 seconds long.
It was very minimal choreography. But that's what I'm saying, is that like it's so good in what it does, but there are others that do that as well, and they just happen to have a longer fight. You know what I mean? So it's not just that I want a pizza with more toppings on it. I just want more of that pizza. You know what I mean? It's like it's so good. I just wanted a little bit more of what you're doing. I'm a fan. Give me more of that.
Cool. But that's exactly how you want to leave your audience. You want to leave your audience with wanting more.
Just something to note is the use of the Force I really liked a lot too, which is something that's kind of, you can do it or not do it, I guess, in a lightsaber choreography competition. But I don't know. I really dig it. It's cool. And it's a neat way to change locations and stuff like that. It's definitely secondary, and it should not really factor in heavily into the judging. But I think the execution was outstanding, and all those Force effects were super duper cool.
Cool. We're going to move on right now to Philip Poling, I think. And after Philip Poling's and the discussion therein, we're going to take maybe a 20-minute break. So everyone at home and here can pee, I guess. So let's take our...
I'm going to need 30.
Let's take our last little clip here. You're at the beginning of Philip's video on YouTube. 3, 2, 1, unpause. Oh, there's a cool logo on the video. Oh, Unfold Studios. I get it. It's unfolding.
Actually, I'm really. Can I say, aside from the bumper, which is very good, as we've noted repeatedly. I've actually been really impressed by some of the production logos, the little production company logos. Some of them are shockingly well thought out and designed. I actually have to say.
And it doesn't do the cardinal sin of production logos, which is more time and effort spent on your production logos than your movie.
My favorite thing about that logo was it was over. It was that's it. Thank you for not having a 20-minute production logo.
I just want to say I do like this concept in terms of a framing device. of framing the fight and giving reason for it. I dig it. If people are as curious, like, well, how do you start your fight? You can think outside the box like this, and you can get kind of a lot of mileage out of it.
I enjoy the evolution of this little Groundhog Day fight,
yeah,
as well. Like, you know, he wakes up, he tries to fight him, and he dies. He wakes up, he's like, okay, not today, and tries to run away, and that's, you know, it's, and also the progression of developing the fight, because the first time it's very short, the second time it's longer, but it's actually very kind of stationary, and maybe a little linear. The third time it's much more complex, and it's moving around a lot more, and I like the element of being thought out in that way,
yeah,
and the way that it progresses.
It gives you a whole different understanding of his motivation each time you come into this, and you know, each time there is a very distinct difference in his goal and his intention within, yeah, the first one's fight, the second one's to escape, the third one's murder.
Yeah.
So it's I like that about it, you know. It's much more interesting and engaging when you know, there's that element to it.
Yeah, you find yourself, because of that, you find yourself like, oh, he's learning, so I'm, as the audience, I am learning as well, and I'm invested now in this fight. Like, how is he, because there's callbacks, like, from round, yeah, to round, there's callbacks to certain techniques that finished the fight in previous rounds, and now he's adapting and learning, and then how is he going to overcome? And the little thing at the end, I think, is a nice coda to it. So, the choreography is well framed here, and these are guys who know, who make use of exactly what their skills are and are able to present them in such a way to where it works for them. It's a perfect marriage of concept and execution.
On a technical note, we're seeing a lot this year, a lot of people using the warp stabilizer in After Effects. So.
Yeah,
well done.
Yeah, the very first one that we watched is like, I really appreciate them stabilizing this, because this was clearly pretty all over the place. But yeah, again, the kids these days.
Yeah,
the cool tech they have.
Cool sequences of hits in here. I like it.
Right,
yeah,
then, or you just mean in general?
They're nice, you know, 10-second chunks of just cool action.
I also, we've come so far since the days when we would be complaining that this was shot in a forest. It's like the only one
year. Thank God it's not an, yeah, industrial complex.
That used to be a thing where it was a lightsaber duel in the forest. We're like, oh yeah, another one of those. But now it feels fresh and unique. Yeah.
Well, and not only that, it's a very lush, pleasant,
yeah,
looking
this
forest.
This isn't just any forest. Look at the ferns in this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Endor.
This is Endor.
They're
this
shooting.
This is Endor. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they got ferns, guys.
Are these guys up in Half Moon Bay? What's up? Like, no.
There was the one that was in the Ewok village earlier.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
was,
yeah,
semi-forest.
Yeah. One other quick note, and that'll be it for me on this one, is that this is a good example of, you have one performer who's actually better technically than the other, and he's the bad guy. Like, the antagonist in this is actually sharper, crisper, more skilled, and it lends to the drama, because while I was watching this originally, I thought, hey, how is the gentleman in white going to overcome, when it's obvious on a subliminal level that the guy in black is, you know, better. So
I'm not entirely sure why the hesitation before killing him just then. You know, he brings it to his neck and then holds, and then he attacks, and then he has the,
yeah, it kind of set me up to think the next iteration of this,
yeah,
was him going to be like, I have to learn not to kill him,
right,
you know, philosophically.
Either, yeah, that, or when you have the chance, go ahead and kill him.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the next iteration was like,
yeah,
was like, yeah, it's the Die Hard. Next time you have a chance to kill someone, do it, as opposed to, you know, taking the moment. But that wasn't what it was.
You could turn that into a little string of very funny commentaries on fight scenes, actually. You know.
Also, I got to give props. I love the curved saber blade, like,
yeah,
the actual curve, like a katana. That
props
was...
to their prop?
Yeah.
props.
Any general notes for those guys? If they were to go again next year, what to focus on? You seem to be pretty up on that one. Everyone seem to like it?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I really
that seemed fine.
See.
Yeah,
Mike dove for that for the microphone.
Yeah, I can see.
Yeah.
I can see a little.
No,
more.
But I liked. I would encourage these guys to continue thinking outside the box in the way that they did. Because,
yeah,
as we talked about, I loved this unique kind of take on the scenario, and the way, like Ryan was saying, how that basic idea of the situation influenced the character and their performance and their behavior as elements of that.
I kind of found myself liking the idea of it, the premise of it, more than the actual you know, scene to scene, shot to shot, fighting in it. You know, I wasn't as sort of dazzled by the choreography itself as I was by just sort of what they're doing with their entry. And so I guess maybe next time a little more into the sort of, you know, the technical and more sort of inspired creative aspects of the actual stick bashing might be the way to go.
This would be one that if you actually did expand it and round it out into a full-on short film, I would like to see that. I think there's some interesting stuff still there to mine. A little more backstory, a little more, you know, a payoff to this theme, you know, that you're setting up, because the situation itself sets up some kind of question about theme. Think about that and pay it off and fill it out a little bit, I think, if you want to. Cool.
If you go
and you have fun.
Okay, we're gonna take a
but wear shoes and a coat
on before you go outside.
We're gonna take ourselves here a little intermission. I was figuring in 20 minutes. Sound good to everyone? Does that work?
Maybe
10. All right, cool. Then I got 20 after right now. I'll see you guys at 30 after. We'll be back in a little while. Bye, guys. So that was our 10-minute break, guys. This is California. This is how we roll.
Hey, the shuttle was 12 hours late, so, you know, count yourself lucky.
Oh, are we too loud?
Well, yeah, but it's tuned differently for them.
Too loud? Doing all right? Bear in mind, you want to be pulling up Derek Hidalgo's entry right now. Oh, Hidalgo.
Okay. Where did my pen go? Oh, there's my pen.
My moderator pin is strong.
He's just chained to the basement. I'm a man.
Ready to go? All right.
Now winning.
I'm a Hollywood star. You are what I say you are.
Next scene will bring dinner down later.
Okay. Let's start this up. So welcome back, everybody. That was our intermission. We're going to go right into entry number 11, which is Derek Hidalgo. So here we go. And please don't mind our entirely unprofessional chewing. But we're still kind of hungry. Here we go. You're at YouTube, beginning of Derek Hidalgo. 3, 2, 1, unpause. And we're in. Hey, there's a logo on this entry.
They should have a logo every year.
They should have a new logo every year in front of every entry. Hey, another logo.
There you go.
That's another one I like, Concrete Marauder. I really like that one.
Cool. So we're on to Hidalgo here. This one is really interesting. If I recall correctly, this is a really pedantic point to make, but this is the one where the sabers look kind of wonky. The blending mode is, it's apparently set to normal.
Yeah.
It should be set to screen, but it really should be set to add.
I really don't even know if this was done in After Effects. I don't know.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of effort to look past it. It's the thing. So it's
I'm the guy who does this.
Yeah, this is the thing. So it took me a little bit of effort to look past it, I'm not going to lie. But once I made myself look past it, there is a good amount of you know, clever choreography. It's not just all stick bashing. And more than that,
there's a pretty lady.
The way it's shot, they actually do what we've been talking about, which is they do take the time to get in there close, get reaction shots, get emotion shots, stuff like that. And that really helps out, because it's one thing to do, like we talked about, whack, 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 and just do that, you know, but to be able to take a breather and to be able to see it affecting the characters and stuff like that actually engages you a bit more, I think.
Someone in the chat chimed in and said it's a LS Maker. That's a, what, a lightsaber maker?
That's LS Maker? I didn't realize that was still around.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's why it looks kind of 1999-ish, saber-wise.
My only critique here is that it's and it's a consistent critique throughout, is that it's it's okay to dial back your choreography to sort of match the ability of your performers, because I think some of this choreography is just a bit beyond her skill set, and that's not a dig on her. She does some things very well, but like the cartwheel, like if you're going to shoot it that tight to match something, don't throw it in there. You know, it's okay to not have her do the cartwheel. Yeah. As Ryan said, like it's as much as the moves you don't do.
Come out at the end going, you know, why didn't she do a cartwheel?
Yeah. So I mean, play to the strengths. There's something she does well, and this comes with time, and sometimes you don't have the time to determine these things. Ooh, I like the
Force Scream.
I like the siren from Mortal Kombat.
The chromatic aberration reminds me of Push, which nobody saw, so maybe that's not where they got this from. But if they did, hey, I'm impressed. You saw Push.
I would just say, obviously, your guy can do some stuff that the female in this can't, and that's okay. Just build it around that, and just, you know, figure out when you are sparring and rehearsing, you know, make adjustments. And yeah. By the way, that reminds me of Splatterhouse. Like, if you take too long, and the world kind of creeps up on you and just erases history. But you know, there's some good stuff there. Just, you know, dial back some of the choreography. A little less choreography would have been a little bit more there.
Cool. So generally, if they were going to do this one again. I'll throw one in just as the moderator. LS Maker is awesome, and it's really cool to have, and I think it's free, which is great. And we don't judge based on effects, but you know, After Effects does that pretty well. You could try that in After Effects at some point. Don't want to sound like a douche, but you know, it really is kind of odd to see opaque saber glows over other saber cores. But that's the only thing that caught my eye. I'm not the choreography judge though. Everything they did pretty well though.
Yeah,
pretty good stuff.
Cool setting, too. It's cool to have a cityscape in the background.
Neat. Let's move on to Devin Pete's entry.
I think this one is going to be another case in point, if I recall correctly, with the cityscape.
Hey, rooftop. Spoilers. Spoilers.
I think. I might be wrong. That might be a later one.
Anyway, you're at the beginning of Mr. Pete's. 3, 2, 1, on pause.
How's Amanda doing? Uncanny X logo.
Cool.
Yep, there it is.
Okay, how the hell did you do this?
Yeah, I'm racking my
brain. I really want to know how the hell you did this crane shot.
This is definitely, like, stabilized and stuff, but, like, I don't see reflection in there.
I looked for reflection. I didn't see it.
Elevator, I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, my initial guess was an elevator until they started to, like, dolly in, sort of, and I was like, okay, you got me.
Can the makers of this chime in? Are they in the chat?
We're serious. Well, like, no, please tell us.
But like, I truly don't know what city this is. Like, this could be Dubai,
Vancouver, probably.
Yeah. But the other thing, I think this is a first. I think this is a first for lightsaber fights in terms of having it on like a rooftop postmodern Zen garden. It's kind of cool, and I don't mean that snarkily. It's kind of cool. Like, I like the. It's urban, yet there's. We're up high. It's just a nice, interesting setting. So. Obviously, good job on picking that.
So it looks like
a quadcopter.
Yeah, they got a quadcopter. Thank you. Thank you, Bear Beaver.
Very cool. So, what
Bear Beaver, by the way, is projecting our live stream on their wall right now. They've got some folks over projecting it full screen.
Well, thank you.
Which is pretty cool.
Alberta. They'll let us fly over here. Camera anywhere we want.
Yeah.
Atlantic. Alberta's crazy with this stuff. I'm
good place to make a saber fight.
Am I seeing some color grading going on here that feels odd to me? It's and also not consistent, but whatever this color grade is, I'm not loving that. Not that that's a big thing for choreography, but just it feels a little weird.
I think it's a problem with white balance. It's not corrected to neutralize it out and balance it across shots. But
how's the choreography?
I like the choreography in this one actually. You feel the intensity. You feel the in the intent, you know, it's a lot of strikes to the body as opposed to the saber. There are certainly still some strikes to the blades. This is a good case in point to me. Oh, actually, he's about to use the two sabers, and I think he does a very good job of using them separately as opposed to as one, basically. So this is a good point. This is a good thing to look at for kind of what I'm talking about when I mention that. I will say that this is one where the camera as part of the choreography kind of starts to stand out, because there are a couple of shots where the camera is basically straight in a line with them, so you can only see the back of one of their heads and you can't really see what the other person's doing. Mm-hmm. They call them camera angles, you know, you want to get at a bit of an angle so that you can get both of them in frame and really see what's going on.
Right. But,
because there is a lot of really cool choreography stuff going on, and I feel like we're probably missing some of it because you can't, because it's just not quite you know, framed
right.
Quite as complimentary.
And a nice ending there too. I gotta say, like, coming off what Mike said, this I would say to other participants and contestants, look at this for a good example of how to use two sabers, because he's not just doing a figure eight pattern or a figure 10 pattern. He's not just doing like double stick bashing. he's actually doing stuff that's kind of based off of it's more Filipino styles. He's doing like kind of the huba drill. He's doing some other stuff that's kind of cool to incorporate. And it just there's more possibilities that are there. I have no complaints with the choreography. There's a couple beats there, like when there are two fists kind of bump. I didn't think that was necessary, and like the double stab where they both miss and come off of that moment. But other than that, it's really, really solid choreography, and you know, production aesthetic aside, I think it works very well.
Any overall notes for those guys?
Yeah, for well, to add on to the other aspect of what Mike was saying, I think for you guys, I think you've got the choreography pretty well set. The area that I would work on if I were you in that situation is adding the camera as a character and giving the camera more of an involvement in planning out, okay, what's the best way to do. You guys had an amazing camera shot to open it, and then afterwards it seems, you know, it's very, most of it was static, or most of it, like Mike was saying, was, you know, not necessarily the best shot selection for the action. So I would try to find some great fight scenes that really use the camera well, both in this and in movies as well, and try to develop that aspect of it for next time.
Although weirdly enough, I was going to say that this one did something that I haven't seen any of the others we've seen so far really do, which was include a POV shot, which has been kind of strangely lacking. And I thought it was one of the more effective shots in the thing, is when the guy goes to the two sabers, we go to him, you know, the other guy's POV, like, oh, this is bad, you know? And that's a moment that, it's like you were saying, it's like, that's not choreography, but yet it is, really, in a sense of, I'm coming at you with two sabers. How do you like that? You know, that's part of the fight, is that I'm coming to mess you up, even though he hasn't begun the messing up process yet. That still feels like it's part of the story. If you wouldn't call it choreography, I still think it's right there in that nether region. So it was one of the moments that stood out for me. So yes, some of the other angles are not particularly properly chosen, and obviously there's lighting issues and things like that. But that one moment I thought was really good to milk the, as opposed to, and now he's going to two sabers. It's like, he's gone to two sabers. Yeah. This is a change. Something has happened, and it actually stopped to milk
make
that
a moment,
make
it.
A moment of it, which was great.
I just wanted to point out that they corrected us. They said Atlanta, not Alberta. So yeah. Keep it American.
So still Canada.
Yeah.
Good. They shot in America, and we can't read. America. All right. Let's move on to Harrison Bay or Ba or Bahi, or we'll just call him Harrison B. At the beginning of his YouTube video, like we are here, 3, 2, 1, unpause.
I like Bahi the most, so I think.
Yeah,
like,
that's how I pronounce
how it.
That's how I've always pronounced it. So.
Not really Hawaiian, because Hawaiian, there's no B's in the Hawaiian language. But just call him H-Bomb.
H-Bomb. Okay.
I believe this is the all slow-mo one, yes. So This one definitely varies up the camera angles, like you were saying, and shoots it. And it actually goes to what you were talking about with the like super well produced one that we were doing earlier.
It's
I can't remember who did that.
Very glossy, smooth.
It's very smooth, and the thing about it is, it's going back to what you were saying about the other fight that incorporated slow mo. This is actually really ballsy, to be honest, yeah. Because like you said, any little problem with their choreography would be magnified because we're staring at it happening in slow motion, and there's yeah, exactly, and there's nothing of that sort that stands out in this one. And I mean later on they've got flashbacks and they show it running at full speed, and it looks great at full speed, and it holds up in slow-mo, and that's very impressive to me. It's really well produced. There's a lot of you know, great camera choices and stuff like that, and can't really fault the choreography any way that I look at it.
No, the choreography is very, very solid. It's not even a critique. I would just like to have a conversation with the guy, like, say, okay, explain to me your motivation for the entire fight being in slow-mo. Like, I just want to hear it. I'm not criticizing. I just want to understand the reasoning why.
Yeah.
I can't glean that from the context of the fight. Outside of that, I would say I really like the top-lit stage.
Yeah.
Why are we not seeing more of this? That's kind of awesome. Like, it's got a weird blood sport vibe to it. I'm kind of digging it. Like,
it's very nicely lit, but all of the focus is just on them. It's very nicely designed, so there's nothing to distract from the scene other than them themselves. I would also be very interested in knowing, my question for you would be, at what point exactly did you have the idea of, let's do the whole thing in slow motion? Was that, you know, from before you put any word on the page, or before, you know, were you working out the choreography and, you know, figuring it all out? You thought, hey, what if we do this? did it get to a point where you're like, hey, we might actually be able to pull this off as you were shooting it and decided to do it that way? At what point did that idea happen to come to you? And well, when did you make that decision?
I may have to be the douchebag here and just say that if we're all looking at one decision that was made and we're not sure why, then that may be an underutilization of that idea,
yeah,
of the concept of doing it.
You know? My guess would be that they shot it that way so they could speed ramp, and then they just decided not to bother with that and just went all slow-mo. That would be my guess. I could easily be wrong. They could correct
me.
And it's perfectly
plausible and all right that it was just an idea that would, oh, this would be a style that would make it more dramatic, mm-hmm, and that's cool and everything. If that's the case, I would just say, well, in any case, I'm just saying that I feel like then what you really want to do is make sure that you have content in there that's really utilizing the fact that it's slow-mo.
Yeah.
Things that wouldn't play as well in full speed.
Yeah, this is one of those ones. If you're gonna go kind of artsy fartsy with it, I say go all the way, have a poem under it or something. Just something something that makes it like this
my dearest
is
Sarah.
An internal conflict or something. Yeah. Because as it is, like you say, you're sitting there going, why is this all in slow-mo? And then you see the shots, you see the flashbacks, which also question mark.
Yeah.
But you see the flashbacks to the fight again, but you see it at full speed, and it's really great at full speed. And I just wish it makes me wish
more.
I'd just seen the whole thing like that, you know.
Yeah.
So
or at least more of it in full speed. You know what I mean? Like I will say, just from a technique standpoint, a lot of people like going to backhand because either they're Zatoichi fans or just because it's not done enough. These guys know how to fight in a backhand grip, and it's kind of motivated, and it's They do techniques that are accordion. Like backhand grip, you can get a lot more figure eight patterns, a lot more twirlies out of it. But these guys actually know how to like mount an offense and defense with it. So, and it's not overused. So in terms of, you know, knowing, giving, you know, having those sort of quote aesthetically cool things to do, this actually makes sense in the context of the fight. The guy just happens to be good at it.
Cool. Let's move ourselves along then to Brian Belita or Belita? Belita? Whatever. Everyone's name sucks. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, on pause.
Says Tagui Christie.
I. Yeah, my name is Teague Christie. I'm with you people. Ah, this is In Search of a Master, isn't it?
Yes. Which, you know, the fact that you remember the title is a good sign, you know.
So how do we feel about this one here?
It's another one that it's telling a story. It takes a little while to set up, but it is actually telling the story, and it's informing you of the dynamic between the two characters.
Yeah.
I think once we get into the choreography, the dynamic is not quite as clear because they seem to be about equally matched.
Right.
So it's a good idea, but it doesn't quite, to me, it doesn't quite play out in the choreography.
There is such a thing as a choreography living up to the promise of the premise.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple ways you can go about getting a story for your choreography. You can either say, look, I've got two performers who are good at X and Y. What story can I tell that they can best deliver? Or you can say, hey, I've got a story that I want to tell, so I will design my choreography around that. Either approach is fine. I think this is sort of kind of stuck between those two poles because from the title to everything else, it's telling us this is a master and an apprentice. But just as Mike very rightfully pointed out, once they get going, there's not that much of a difference between the two. If anything, the student is probably a little better than the master in terms of like actual technique and skill.
Yeah, which so, I mean, it looks great. I really like a lot of what they're doing. The performance on both ends looks great. I like, you know, just like we've been talking about, the intent is really good, and the strikes are well planned. So they're not just bashing sticks together. Clearly, you can tell this was meant to go for his head. That was meant to go for his wrist.
Very crisp and clear.
Yeah,
I mean, you can read every move, and their stances are very strong, and everything's bold. You know, and that goes a long way in terms of you know, feeling like they're actually into it.
Their stance and the sort of squat look that they're doing, I actually associate that look with theater fighting. Is that right?
Well,
it looks swashbuckly, but it also is something that I associate with fighting on stage.
It's well, okay. The deeper stances is what you get more out of like kendo and iaido and some of the Japanese styles because it's just a deeper stance. Fencing as well. I mean, European fencing, you have that definite lunge stance. What I mean, and this is the challenge of choreographing a lightsaber is because a lightsaber is this weird hybrid thing between samurai skills and European fencing because it's a touch weapon. So
the techniques kind of suffer sometimes. Just that's the challenge you're up against, because there's a few different ways you can do this, and not every time it'll feel, you got to know when to have more of like a samurai strike and versus more of a fencing style strike or a wushu style strike if you're incorporating the prequels, and God help you if you are. So you're up against that challenge when you do a lightsaber fight or lightsaber choreography. These guys tend to swing more towards like a Japanese style, with some Errol Flynn thrown in here and there. But stage combat is just bigger. All the gestures are just very big. Yeah. That's
and
the main
difference. I think it's also, you know, you're certainly, you know, Chinese opera and stuff will utilize wushu, but for the most part, stage combat utilizes more European stuff because that's where more theater comes from, and also because it's less risky to try and pull that off in a one shot deal like you're doing on stage, in a lot of ways, and it's more controlled, and kind of easier to do. So that may be why you associate those kinds of styles more with stage combat. But there was a lot of good stuff there. I mean, there was the bit, like the groundwork on this was very cool.
I really like the footwork.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. I'm sorry. There's a little coda here. Yeah. Little Avengers thing here.
Uh-huh. Only they have a line of dialogue.
Yeah.
Don't they?
It, huh? Oh, yeah. They're arguing about you should do sound and you should do VFX, right, which I thought was amusing. It's so weird to it. For some reason, it was weird to me, even though, you know, Avengers came out 6 months ago. It's still weird to me to be like, we're riffing on a movie that only came out 6 months ago. Right. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the footwork was really nice. I like the last bit too, going up the stairs and fighting. That was kind of a neat use of the location, you know, working it into the choreography.
I'd be nervous to do that. Like running upstairs, doing a fight, and in costumes, boots, I'm not necessarily completely comfortable with. That's you know, takes a little sack.
Any overall notes for these guys?
I think those were them.
Cool. Then let's move on to
Zach. Good sack. Good sack. Good sack, guys.
Let's move on to the first of what will be two Eric Whiteley submissions. Whiteley, what the hell, man?
See, the only thing that he could do more than he's been doing is I'll do two this year. That's what I'll do.
This is, we were talking about this before we started rolling. I think because 2 years ago Eric Whiteley won. Last year we were a little hard on Eric Whiteley for his entry, and this year I think he's like, fine. Here's two really good ones.
In your face while I melt it.
Also, they're both fully VFX'd, which is pretty impressive. So, just that.
You schooled us, Eric Whiteley.
I think all Whiteley does is sit around and make lightsaber fights all the time. Sometimes he even breathes. All right, let's get started. You're at the beginning of, this is called Slice, if I recall correctly, on YouTube.
Yes,
three,
this one's Slice.
3, 2, 1, unpause. And there are a group of Whiteley team members watching us right now.
Oh, so hold on! They're saying everyone's saying the sound is down right now.
The sound is down.
Everyone in the chat is saying that the sound is down. So hold on.
Talk. I don't know what's
wrong. Can you hear us? Anyone?
Is anyone getting a video or audio?
Oh, hello. Jibby 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 jibby. Hello.
Back.
You're back. Well, Bullet 3 is back. I don't know about the rest of them.
We need feedback.
Okay, Bullet, tell the rest of them we're working on it, because apparently you're the only one who can hear us right now.
Yeah. Bullet, Timmy's down the well.
Yeah.
Go get Grandpa.
Okay, go. Well, okay, now I'm confused, because if one person can hear us, then I have no idea what the situation is.
I have no idea what just happened, but now everyone seems like it's back on. We are we held off, guys. We're not actually watching Slice yet. So are we okay? What's going on?
Everyone, can you, hello?
I have no idea what's going on here.
They're not
going
to be able
to. Okay, well that means that their feed started back up again. All right, so we're back. We all good.
Okay, nobody's
panicking.
Everyone's cool now. So,
okay.
So have we gone back to the beginning
Hopefully
of Slice
just
here?
Refreshed if they
oh yeah, I'll rewind it while we're waiting.
Okay,
here.
Yeah, we're back. Good.
Has Whiteley said he's back yet? Because I don't want to, you know.
it'd be nice for him to be here.
I think we just watched it.
Yeah.
so that's what we think. Yeah.
I was really disappointed. I really expected
this year of
and
all
that's
years,
I'll never watch it again.
I was pretty sure that Whiteley was going to come back. And really show us something, and this was a
a tawdry attempt.
A clear step down.
This reminded me of Obama's debate performance. I was just very disappointed.
It's obvious Eric Whiteley doesn't care anymore.
I was so primed for like this was going to be their year, and wow.
And Whiteley just didn't pull it together at all.
So much.
This was supposed to be his return of the king.
Yeah.
I told my son, don't ever be like that.
let's not give him the cake. We had a special prize all picked out.
We did forget Prevail. Or are we doing Prevail after?
Is Prevail Vapor Trails?
No, Prevail is the one where the link was originally broken for us.
Maxwell Sweat's entry. Yeah. Did we forget that one?
Yes, we did.
Oh, really?
We did it last.
Okay, well, we've been making fun of Whiteley for like 20 minutes, and he hasn't said anything, so I'm not sure he's even in the room. Maybe we should do Prevail first.
All right. Well, I don't think I have Prevail. I'd have to stream it off of YouTube.
Are you sure?
I thought I had all
Check
of them.
It. Hold on. Uh-oh.
Hold
on.
Oh, sorry, guys. Hold on a second. I'm pretty sure I have all of them. But then if we don't have Prevail, then we don't. Maxwell Sweat, right?
Yeah.
Apparently we do not I have don't. It. All right, we'll...
Oh, that'll go well.
Yeah, we'll find it.
You can watch on someone's iPad.
Well, no, I got it in here somewhere. Hold on. Do-do-do. You're in Google. Search for it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Almost there. Of course, this will not... Sorry,
guys.
Maxwell Sweat new link. Here it is. All right, I got it.
Okay, cool. Can you actually play that for the stream?
I can play it for the stream.
Oh, my God. Eating its own tail.
Okay,
yeah, now we're feeding the internet back into itself right now.
What could possibly go wrong?
And this is the moment the internet became self-aware. What am I? What am I?
And why do I
have lightsabers?
And why do I like lightsabers so damn much? Clearly, I like pandas and ponies and lightsabers.
It would take too long at this point. All right. Well, you can see it here. You can see the top of it.
Oh my God!
Wow, big logo.
Apparently, this is what we're doing.
All right, everybody.
Sorry, guys. You're not going to see. You're only going to see the. Yeah, a little bit more English on it. That'll work. Yeah. All right, guys. So,
what the hell is going on?
We just had our glitch for this mission. We're going to watch Maxwell Sweat.
Whiteley's back.
Whiteley.
Okay.
Too bad,
man. We're going to watch Prevail now. We're going to watch Maxwell Sweat. So, pull up that one. Hopefully you have it. Don't look at all my bookmarks.
Fuzzy World, iHeartFuzzies.com.
Okay. You're at the beginning
the
of...
Hell?
Hi, everybody. Yes, I literally just dragged a YouTube video over here. Everyone should go to this link and go to the Down in Front forum. All right,
let's get this over with.
So you're watching the beginning of Maxwell Sweat's video like we are here. Hope the internet doesn't start echoing. 3, 2, 1,
here we
pause.
Go.
And we're in. God help us.
Okay, well, anyway, this will be fun.
Yeah. Sorry for the off-kilterness of the footage, y'all. Sort of the best I could do.
Yeah. Oh, you did see this one. Good.
Okay. Eddie, what was your opinion of this one?
I really liked this one. We'll go more as we see it. But, the color really worked for me in this one for some reason. It wasn't just unnecessary color.
I'm personally...
That push in on the guy in the black robes and stuff. The face... I was watching these with Michael Dorkman Scott and
the Michael Dorkman Scott.
The Michael Dorkman Scott. And
holy crap!
the face. I don't know if that was like digitally brightened or what, but I was convinced it was a 3D model.
I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad that somebody finally gave Neville Longbottom a lightsaber. Hey, above the belt.
I gotta say, I like the costume design on this one too. Like you have the traditional guy, and then like. And I appreciate the different weapons, and I appreciate this is the best. I will say this is the most successful light whip choreography I've seen, even better than the one whether it was last year or 2 years ago. It made a lot of sense. Motivating your weapons and when to use them. This is a really good example of doing it.
This is also a really great example of maintaining the performance,
yeah,
while maintaining the intensity. Mm-hmm. I'm extraordinarily like this.
Look at them go, you know.
Yeah.
There's a relentless sort of quality to the...
This one was when we originally got it, it was a broken link, and we were all like, meh, okay, fine, whatever. But that would have been a real tragedy if they hadn't got this one in, because this one is really good. And even with this, when he gets the, you know, the big spear saber going on...
Naginata,
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're really fast, they're really clean, There's a lot of variation in the moves, but that you, again, can sense that they're all attempted yes. strikes and not just swinging around and bashing. It's really, really impressive. I really like this one.
I was going to say, this one reminds me a lot of the Fight from Troy with Eric Bana and Brad Pitt. Like, in terms of knowing exactly what weapon to use at the exact right range. He did a very nice Superman stab that was motivated perfectly because it was the first strike. It's not like he busted out halfway into the blocking. I really dug this one. I can't really point out anything majorly wrong with it.
It's also similar. I was flashing on Troy too because of what the fight is about.
Yeah,
the fight is about one guy wants to kill the other guy. The other guy doesn't want to get killed.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's
one guy's goal is to stay alive as opposed to killing the other guy. And because of that, he loses.
Exactly. You know? And that gives that's you understand one guy is clearly the aggressor, and all the choreography says that and make sure that that's clear.
I think it's brief, but it's really, really good for what is there. It's intense and it's all sweet. If I were voting, it would be in my top three.
This it reminds me of. I mean, we've talked about studying martial arts movies, and we've had some that look like. We've had some that remind more of, Errol Flynn and samurai movies. That was very much a Chinese martial art movie. Very much just, fast, a lot of, House of Flying Daggers or Hero or something like that.
But Western sensibility, too.
Yes,
sort of like that. Again, it's almost sort of like similar to what they do in, 300 and Troy. They're recreating a culture that's kind of lost to us. Sort of through an amalgam of a few different influences, and that's what I'm saying, is they know exactly what techniques to use, what weapons to use, and out of that you create something that is very much its own. It's one thing to just throw a karate punch and then a kung fu kick. That's anybody can do that. But in terms of well, I'm just saying, anybody can choreograph that, but in terms of creating a cosmology that is its own, that's a skill, and that's why I think this one does very well.
It's one thing to stack things up one after the other. It's another to blend them kind of seamlessly. Yeah.
Cool. Shall we move on now to Whiteley?
Yes, let's do that this time. I bet it. Watch, he's gone again.
We should make a bunch of funny jokes about how Whiteley didn't enter this year and then his entry sucked and blah, blah, blah. Okay, here we go. So you're at the beginning of Whiteley's first one, which is called Slice. 3, 2, 1. Whiteley. Okay.
Slice. Whiteley.
Really quickly, he said he used Troy as inspiration for this. So,
hey,
good job. That's I honestly say I use that. That's one of my top five fights to use as a reference point. So, great job.
So, Slice.
Slice hasn't started yet. They're playing.
I like the silent film nature of it. It's always funny to me when when people play against any sort of dialogue at all. Just a bunch of looks and.
Yes,
it's like one of those Lego movies.
I
make noises.
I absolutely love this, and Eric, I love you, man. But I'm gonna say this is gonna be my largest criticism of you. I'm not a fan of your taste in music, bud. I'm sorry, Skrillex. Just like if you're gonna do dubstep, there's better dubstep out there. Like you, just come on, man. You're almost there.
Wow,
I almost feel like dubstep is cheating because then you're like, oh man, the intensity. There's just such a rhythm here.
So my heart was racing.
Exactly. Wanted to just punch some guy for no reason. But, taking the audio away, it's still very fast.
Is he fast on track to becoming, the comedy lightsaber king of present day? Is
this some of them are, he did this one, it's comedy. His other one's pretty serious. Yeah.
No, clearly, I'm not forgetting about that. But saying.
What I like about this is that the intensity of the fight and the believability of the fight doesn't suffer because of the comedy. The comedy accentuates it, and the fight is still very much a fight, and you can it's very true to the – oh, by the way, that I love. The parry down to the tiger tail kick, awesome. Great stuff there. Really good wrist lock takedown. That's a straight Aikido move, but again, blended really well and perfectly timed.
After my comment about being the comedy king, then King Cool himself just popped into the forum and said, hey, what about me? And, yeah.
What about you? You submit this year?
That's inventive.
Yeah.
Certainly one of the most creative lightsaber designs I've seen in a while.
Also, commendable in the fact that Whiteley put out two entries, and there's eight sabers going on there just for one combatant. So, wow.
How do you guys like the use of this particular weapon?
It definitely lends itself to a different style that is unique and utilized, sort of okay. Although, being completely unfamiliar with a weapon like that, I will turn it over to Eddie to
Eddie? I was going to say, it seems like, and Mike and I were talking about this on our pizza run, it's using Tonfa as like a jumping off point. If you're unfamiliar with what a Tonfa is, it's essentially a police nightstick. It's an Okinawan weapon. It was a grain handle grinder thing. And then you can use that to swing it around, and you can see a lot of the strikes that they do is what you would do with a Tonfa. With that said, I love the ability of being able to catch the blade and activating, deactivating the individual sabers on it is wholly unique, and I love what he does with it.
I always like when people utilize that. It's an element of the lightsaber, unique to the lightsaber, that so few people wind up using. And you wouldn't want to use it all the time, but it's a tool in the tool chest that if you're going to do lightsaber choreography, that's something that you should keep in mind.
You don't get to do that if you're not using lightsaber.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of that in Ryan versus Brandon, too.
Lightsaber Wolverine class.
I don't know. Me, personally, I don't like it when it strays too far from really what we've seen in the movies, the classical kind of sword.
Just a sword.
Action. Yeah, I mean, when it gets into light whips and it gets into, you know, whatever those are and stuff, it's cool, but it's, I don't know. It doesn't do it so much for me.
It feels like
very impressive choreography.
Yeah, it feels like the stuff we would get all excited about on the forums all the time. It's like that, a light whip, and then there's a black lightsaber. Yeah, a black lightsaber. Yeah, exactly. And then just nobody did them back then, and now we actually have the technology, and we can do it, and now we are, and there's cool stuff coming out of it. Yeah.
All right, let's...
We're all about coulda.
Not shoulda. Shall we move on to the next Whiteley entry? All right. Whiteley Part 2. This is Ferocity.
Tell me it doesn't have the same logo as the last
3,
one.
3, 2, 1, let's find out.
Yeah. Disqualified.
Yep.
I really do think he stepped out again. I haven't seen him in the chat this entire time. Good timing.
Oh, that sucks. All right, so how are we doing here?
Oh, this is the nighttime one, right?
This is the nighttime one.
Cool way to start a duel.
Yeah.
Rolling into frame.
Oh, okay, they're listening. They're listening, but not.
Good. Okay, excellent.
You get off the interstate. What you want to do is you want to go past Kinkletown
to First City.
They got the finest pomegranates.
Once they get moving, this is really alive.
You know,
this thing is very energetic. And only in a little bit toward the beginning do I feel like there's kind of like, take your hit, I got to do just a quick spin and a half to leave time to jump back in. But mostly it keeps itself pretty tight.
The speed is amazing. The guy with the double, Shane, he's been in many of Whiteley's things, and he's very good. He's got what we talked about in the other ones. He's got the posture and he's got the presence and he knows how to use his feet and he knows how to move and he's really fast but continues.
And he's got 25 Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah.
And
he's super dreamy and he's got brown eyes. He maintains the performance even amid all of that. You can still see that he's performing. And it's not just him. It's worth pointing out that the choreography is not just fast, but it's utilizing all three of them at once. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not one. He turns to one person and they're fighting, and he turns to the other person and they're fighting. It's like the two of them are coming at him at the same time. He'll use one against the other.
That's a great
and have them moving like back and forth among each other. It's this one's really impressive.
This, for my money, is actually better than Duel of the Fates. Like for using a double lightsaber and having two single saber combatants. Yeah, very very cool.
Did you just say this is better than the Phantom Menace fight? Damn.
Yeah, actually, I'm with you on that. I'll agree with that because they've
had 13 years. I should also.
What he does that's so smart here is that, especially, I mean, this is the gold standard for, two lightsaber attackers on one. Not just because he times them out perfectly, but in the areas where he's not able to, he hides it in an edit. He'll go close and it's like, you don't see that other guy. So, and it works. It totally works for believability of everybody's always doing something. And also the way the first guy dies, it totally makes sense because if you're in a grappling sequence with two guys and their lightsabers, someone's getting chopped in half, whether you want it to or not. It totally makes sense. Every move is motivated. Every move feels like it's, even if it's just by a millisecond, it initiates and then someone's reacting to it. And then that person's countering it. It feels like it's actually happening in real time. all the flourishes that happen with the double saber are for a reason, for a logistical, tactical reason that are there, and they're not just look good. I can't say enough about it. It's really well done.
Cool.
Yeah, especially with the kills too. It's very refreshing to see kills that aren't just you know, stick bashing and then, oh, one guy didn't swing, so the other guy took a shot. Like, these are very kind of motivated and clever bets.
Nifty.
Clever is a good word. I really think that's true for the choreography itself, not just the kills. Like, it's, you know, it's smart. It's very well performed.
All right, just shit on it some more, why don't you? God.
The only thing at that point that I think you could really improve on it is production value.
Yeah. I want to take up a collection to get Whiteley a DSLR or something, because yeah.
That's funny because one of the things I liked about that is it really looked like yeah, so it's like someone's YouTube video almost of like, yeah, I pulled off the interstate to get like a burger and these three dudes were going out in the parking lot with lightsabers. It was crazy.
This is like the 22nd century version of Rodney King. It's like, do you see what's going on in that fucker? All right.
I want to shoot one like that now.
All right, let's pull on over to Chris Spensley, Vapor Trail. Let's do some magic here, Chris. This better be good. All right, 3, 2, 1, on pause. Vapor Trail and Boater, actually, Andrew Hookway. All TFN all the time here at this TFN-related competition. All right.
Is Hookway the gentleman with the Padawan braid?
Was.
Okay. What was? Hey, spoiler.
Yeah, story.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I remember even long before I met most of these fine folks in here, I think I only knew Trey at the time, but I remember Hookway from his A L'Amour, I believe. It was, I don't know if he's in the chat or not, but I do remember you. And yes, it's nice to have seen you literally grow up before my eyes. So. I feel like an old man watching this, but no, yeah, it was good to see him entering again some 7 years later.
He is in the chat. He's right there. But he presumably heard all that. Both of them.
Hookway is there too. Yeah. So, yeah, there's some really creative choreography in here. I like it.
Wow.
Great.
There it is.
Okay.
So moving on to the next one.
The end.
I guess the only thing I would say about that is there is a good amount of clever choreography here. It becomes a pacing thing at that point, because there's, you know, cool move and then wait, and then cool move and then wait, and I think it would be better served to be tightened up and really that, because then you feel the intensity a bit more, or at least I don't know, it could also be a performance issue, because if it's like they're people, the idea in the story is they're really good and they're kind of testing each other,
right,
then you can come in and be like, whack, whack, okay, gonna regroup here.
Right.
You know?
and not only that, just there's a couple moments where I feel like some of the emotional stuff they're going for, or like some of the, they could sell the exhaustion a bit more, they could sell the intensity a bit more. Like right here, they're good, but towards the end of the fight, I felt like the intensity tapers off a bit. And some of that is, like you were saying, a pacing issue. I feel like a couple of the techniques were purely transitional to the next beat. And, you know, just on the Tomonaga there, try to get them, like, directly over you, like, directly above you. That was kind of to the side, and it doesn't, that's what I'm saying, it doesn't sell the intensity as much. Like, if that was nailed a little bit better, it would have felt just a little stronger there.
I think there are some very creative things, but there might be some things that are almost too clever and are missed opportunities for potential death blows. So that's something I'd point out.
It's similar to what we were talking about with the previous one, where those might be, if those might still be a pacing issue, because if the fight were progressing more quickly, you as an audience member would have less time to think about the fact that there was an opening there. Whereas if they're doing a clever move and then they're waiting before they do the next clever move, then you are really getting a sense that, well, instead of doing that clever thing, you could have just killed him there.
Also, from an editorial standpoint, you don't need to go tight on some of your techniques to sell them. They can sell just fine in a wide, like with the kick to the back of the knee and some of that. You see that a lot in Chinese choreography, some of the foot play, as it were. Like, you don't need to go tight on all those opportunities. They can play and sell better if it was in a longer series of movements on a one-er. I think they would actually, that would sort of help with your intensity and your flow, as opposed to literally chopping it up. You know, it's like jazz. It's the cuts you don't make.
And again, obviously, you know, cinematography and all of that are not directly related to the choreography aspect of it. But for me, there are moments in here where the sheer lighting of it makes it difficult for me to follow what's going on. There's a lack of separation between the character and the background. It's just very dark, and not all the time, but there are moments where I'm confused, and it's tough for me to follow the action because of that. So, again, not directly related to a choreography competition, but when it does start to actively get in the way, you have to consider that.
That's a fun little gag, but is that like space water? Where are we?
it's campus space water.
Bottled on Naboo. So,
well, again, we're seeing practical lightsabers here. At least most of the time. That's to me the reason for the darkness, is to expose for the lightsabers. So you get the interactive effects and all that. That's very cool. But yeah, it does tend to
tend to darken
the whole scene a lot.
Oh yeah.
I think this really that's a really good moment to kind of look at for an example of kind of the overall pacing issue, because it's like and it's similar to it's very similar to what Ryan you were talking about, and that shorter one with the guys in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. He spits and then you pause and then it cuts and there's a wait and then he reacts to the spit.
Right.
As opposed, you feel the energy start and stop in the cuts a lot on this one.
And that's oftentimes just an editing thing, is not realizing that you can make it work with less on the end and on the beginning of the two cuts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Also, it's interesting, were those part of the rules? There are some patterns that are emerging in this thing. Well, like, there have been a couple of double stabs. There are a couple of double stabs in this thing. There's a couple of shockwaves. There have been two. There have been two where someone did a force palm towards a lightsaber and like absorbed it coming in at them.
Were force effects a requirement this year, guys? That's probably something we should know.
Yeah.
But were they a requirement?
I'm not judging against them. I just think it's curious if those are all coincidental.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Also,
okay.
We should almost say. Next year, I would say, what if no decapitations? No. Degree of difficulty next year, no decapitations.
Pistol whips only.
Yes, pistol whips only.
You're here for battle.
To be clear and clear up a distinction that Brandon just was confused by. Not force effects, those glowy lightsabers, but actual force power.
Effects.
Force powers.
You must use force effects.
So, in general, any critiques for Vapes and Boater?
I think we nailed it.
Nailed it?
I think we nailed it.
Got the mic.
We did it! We got it.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Man, that was hard.
Yeah.
All right.
You're welcome, America.
Before we move on to our last entry of
and
the
Canada,
day.
I guess. Ryan, Russia. And Russia.
Ryan has some confessing to do.
Oh, yes. So, yes, the reason I might have been mentioning from time to time that I will not be voting is because I participated on an entry, which is the one we're about to see with
I'll see you're blowing it, because I was going to try and guess which one you'd participate in.
Oh, well, you could do that.
You were credited in one already.
But I wanted to, I wanted to point it out, because I'm not going to be, I'm going to be abstaining from commenting on this one. So I'll be
so we get to ask you directly what the F was going on in this one?
Right. Although, okay, but I will point out that I was not involved in the choreography of it. I just shot it for them.
Cool.
So, there you go.
Let's get this last one started here, guys. We're almost done here. Ricky Elliott at the beginning.
Which just means pseudonymously Ryan Weaver.
Yeah.
There's no Ricky Elliott.
There is no Ricky Elliott. Nemesis. So here we go. The beginning. 3, 2, 1, on pause. God, Ricky, even for your own. You know what?
Oh, you got the same wrong because
the logo looked just a little bit cleaner
and
tighter this one. I think he saved the best one for him.
Right off the bat, this is shot horribly. This looks terrible. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, we're not grading on that in this competition.
You can tell from this first frame that it was shot by a convicted child molester. So,
if I had a dime for every time I saw a guy choking a girl in a Bane mask in a factory, I mean, my God.
I'd have $14.
That's so tired.
See, here's the problem. It's not a big problem for you guys, the entrance. But when the lightsabers take a while to start, we just sit here feeling like idiots.
Yeah. We kind of just have to yammer a bit.
All right. Now it's happening.
Yes.
No, they're sabering. They're sabering the hell out of each other. Yeah. And actually, I'll just say, kind of previewing it, but I really like, this is an example of a fight that ramps up in both intensity and technique
and like it really like it earns its bigger moves. Like right now we're still in fairly rudimentary choreography land, but it really picks up and picks up, and you really are, it is very much, yeah, it does earn its sort of its ending. I really like how the choreography, it doesn't blow it all in the first 30 seconds, which a lot of people tend to do. They tend to lead with their best stuff, and these guys really knew how to sort of build and build and escalate to where you get that awesome third act in terms of the fight.
Force effects were a requirement. That was a cool use of the saber throw. Just kind of saber there.
And again, in terms of storytelling, these people haven't spoken a word, but boom, stakes and character. Like we've got an idea of sense of character of all three of these people. We know why they're fighting. We know how they're going to fight. And over the course of this fight, we're going to learn more about their characters through their choreography and through their fight. So that's what I think this one succeeds very much in doing.
Although I actually, when I was watching it, I wound up going, wait, are they both left-handed? It took me a second. They're both, I think at one point, they're both fighting left-handed.
They're both fighting southpaw.
So, yeah.
It looks like they are.
Yeah.
It's not flipped or flopped, I should say. So.
There's the one issue with he's got the lightsaber kind of, the girl's lightsaber, I guess, pinned to his costume.
Yeah.
And it looks like maybe it wasn't too secure, because a lot of times he's holding onto it or having to like pin one of his arms against himself, so it makes it look a little bit awkward. But the choreography itself is really creative, like we were talking about earlier. There's high, there's low. It is actively seeking to do harm to the other person.
And not only that, you can tell that this whole sequence of force lightning that's going to be there, it's not there now, but the choreography is as such where even without the effects, I still know what's happening. I still know what's going to be done. And I'm very much looking forward to that when it's finished, because that's a cool practical use of an earned moment of using the of force lightning. A lot of guys will just force lightning first 10 seconds. Okay, saber's drawn, sick bash. You know, this breaks from that sort of convention in all the right ways.
This has to be my favorite in terms of creative use of the force and using it to change location and just a lot of really clever stuff. I don't know, just in general, it kind of wins that award for me.
It structures it the right way. It doesn't do it backwards and idiotically like Attack of the Clones does, where it's like, okay, we're going to do force powers. Oh, that didn't work, so lightsabers instead. It's like, no. And then tic-tac-toe after that. It's like, no, there's a progression here. And this gets the progression right.
Really good exchange right there again, knowing the distance, knowing what techniques to use. The fact that they threw in a spinning back kick to the thigh, it warms my heart. It is a dedication to the late Andy Hoog. If you don't know, YouTube that shit, and now you'll know. Pardon my language. But it's really good. Every technique makes sense in terms of range, in terms of motivation, in terms of what it's aiming to do. He kicks the guy in the leg to lower the defenses of the saber, and then the choreography is based off of that and transition. So in terms of every move leading to another, and like a true chess match in terms of a fight, this is that. Like, this isn't just stick bashing and then someone dies. This is trying these things. They do work. They don't work. We progress from there.
Yeah, and it's worth noting how, just in terms of the performance, how long these shots are going. You know, it's not 1-2-3 cut, 1-2-3 cut, which is a perfectly valid way to do it, but we're looking at very long takes. You know, traveling down hallways and stuff like that, and they're really nailing it, and it's complex and technical.
This hallway fight, you know, this whole hallway sequence might be my favorite part of the fight.
Guys, did you notice that
in execution,
he just burned his eyes out with a lightsaber?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And also,
and making sure we're all on board here.
Regarding that, I have to say, okay, so why does he have the bandana with him? And also, is he blindfolding himself for the sake of Bane?
So like, I know it's really gross, man. I'm just going to...
Nasty. Let me cover this up.
I believe that's a production choice.
Well,
so they don't have to have burned eyeball makeup all the time. I'm just guessing.
I get the romanticism of the blindfolded fighter, though. And also the fact that you're able to perform the last half of this, or the whatever, last third of this fight, blindfold. Very cool. Yeah,
very impressive. It's like your mom said, always take your bandana in case someone blinds you. Because no one wants to see that stuff, honey.
As anyone who has taken a lightsaber to the face can tell you, you know, the burn marks, the wind, it tingles it. It just, you know, no, I don't know. It's obviously an aesthetic choice. But again, it's fine. It's a callback to a lot of other movies. Anything that even subtly references Bloodsport is got a sentimental favorite for me.
How does he handle the fighting with the Blandfoot on, though?
It makes sense. It's not like he doesn't suddenly become magical. I mean, he fights like a dude who can't see, like maybe assisted by the Force, but he's very clearly. It would be
he's
better
at a disadvantage, clearly.
It would be
and
better
it's
if he could see right now. Yeah. You know, and that much is obvious. Now he's like kind of coming back, but he's still not doing
that. Is
like,
so
crazy
scary.
Stuff.
Yeah, I gotta say, this is
legitimately cool.
This is really well done, really cool, and really scary for both of them, because one guy is afraid he's gonna fall off the roof. The other guy just has to deal with this guy swinging a thing at him and can't you know pull his strikes or anything.
I'm really kind of curious, and I'm sure that when they made this, there's enough visibility to really see what's going on. But either way, I mean that's pretty neat.
According to them in the chat, you know, PR or whatever, but you can't see through that.
Oh wow!
So.
Wow, very cool.
I can confirm it's actually true. He can't. Wow.
But what is nice about that is that you're doing the blind fighter thing, and there is a ramp up to his abilities. Like it's not like right off the bat he's great.
Yeah, and what ramps up his abilities is more desperation than a case of magic. There gets to be a point where he just starts swinging because what else is he going to do? So I like that a lot.
Hey, so there's like a story there. Beginning, middle, and end. How about that? Get out of my lightsaber competition.
I'll call you. Nice. Good day.
What are you doing in their story? You are not lightsabers. You are story.
Thanks. I'll friend you on Facebook and stuff.
I'm gonna go now.
So, all right, where do they park?
I believe it's pronounced Nemesis. Yeah. How's he gonna get off the roof? Wow. He stands up.
Yeah, he's blindfolded.
There's that hole. He's going right in that hole. You know it.
Injured at that.
All right. So that was the last one there. How'd you guys feel about that? Critiques? Things they could have done better next time? Blah blah.
Besides the cinematography being god awful.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, it was all right.
Well, fortunately, we're not grading on that.
Cinematography gave me syphilis. I mean, Jesus. So, if it didn't do that next time, that'd be a step up.
Ryan, that'd be
honestly,
great if you could
honestly,
not give me syphilis next time.
Legitimately very cool. I did legitimately like the way it was shot, and if I didn't know Ryan had shot that, I would say that. It's legit solid DP work. So
cool. Anything else? We all good on that? Then what we're going to do is let's talk a bit about the year here for a second, and then we're going to have an intermission and announce the winners. So we saw a lot of Force effects this year, but we just recently figured out that's because they were told to. So
were they really? Is that just
it was a rule that you had to use Force effects in there.
Force powers.
But not
right.
that should necessarily...
Fair enough.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Don't worry about it. Let's see what they say, but that might just be us.
Well, if it's us, that's still a problem.
It's, well...
Yeah, right. It's what the hell's that supposed
Oh, you
to
mean
be?
The log into the chat. Oh, yeah. We're still broadcasting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're fine.
I understand. Anyway, well, that shouldn't necessarily affect to a tremendous amount, judging of a lightsaber choreography competition.
And earlier, Mike was saying this is one of the better years in terms of the whole crop that we've had.
Yeah. It honestly is. A lot of times it feels kind of thin on the ground. I mean, sometimes we have like 27 entries, but only a few of them are really clearly standout. But this one was difficult
way
in
more
terms
than
of
half.
Judging.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I feel kind of bad because I mean we all have a top three, but there's outside of my top three, there's like three I want to just say really good job
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
We'll do honorable mentions.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean I think percentage wise, this is since I've been doing this at least, and since I've been watching the lightsaber competition, this is the best percentage of really good successful pieces. And
yeah.
even ones that maybe aren't as successful as others, they still have a couple of qualities that are good. And I was very encouraged this year by this entry or by these entries, and not just the ones that excelled, but the ones even, you know, on the other end of the Gaussian curve, as it were, I think, you know, are on the right path.
So. Cool.
This is the year where everybody found a cool location. Everybody's got a really cool location this year.
Right on. Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a 5-minute intermission. We're going to do our math over here. We're going to mute the mics, but the video and the feed is going to continue working, you know, as well as it has been. And when we come back in 5 minutes, we're going to announce the winners. So we'll see you guys in 5.
Vapes, you can color correct.
Yeah.
he says our location was...
Hey, guys, I hear something. I think they're back on.
Hey.
You know what's awesome about being us? We know who won right now, and you don't. You're about to find out, though. There should be an envelope, yeah. All right, cool. So, Audio's up.
Woo!
Here we go. Thank you, everyone who entered. I would list all your names, but there are 19 of you, so no. No, there's 18 of you, because Whiteley entered twice. Okay, cool. The way this voting works, it's very much like the Oscars. It's a process called preferential balloting, wherein everybody gets to pick their top three, and their number one pick gets 15 points, their number two gets 10, their third gets 5. Those numbers are arbitrary, but those are the ones we use. And then everyone assigns their top 1, 2, 3 to all the movies, at which point all these movies then have, you know, a 15 from this person, a 10 from this person, maybe a 0, whatever. You add them all up. Whichever one has the most numbers is the winner. That's how it works. It's preferential balloting. We've done it 3 years. It's a pretty effective way of doing things, and it has, yet again, yielded a first, second, and third place prize. The prizes, by the way, are happening. The winner will win.
Sure are.
Was there confusion?
I wasn't sure until a little while ago. The winner will receive 2 Saber Shop lightsabers, and if they so choose, I guess. If half the people in the competition already have Nova Sabers. So if you wanted to gift them to someone else, like your favorite entry, that'd be cool. But if you want to have, you know, Nova Sabers, that's number one prize. And number two prize.
Yeah, if you want to keep your prize, that's cool, I guess.
If you want to keep your prize, you know, it's pretty cool. Number two prize goes any shirt in the Down in Front store. And third prize is our admiration. So let's do this.
Set of steak knives.
In third place for the 10th annual lightsaber choreography competition. In third place, Maxwell Sweat.
Yay.
Comes in third.
Prevail.
That's the one.
Prevail.
That's Prevail. That's the one we had to watch on YouTube. Oops.
Can you like play it?
I would have to pull it up on YouTube again.
Pull a clip.
Well, we're gonna have to risk sentience again.
We only had the rights to show one clip.
Right.
So.
In second place, Nemesis.
Yay!
Ricky Elliott and Antoine Vandelay. Very nicely done. You guys can pick any shirt. One shirt you like out of the diff store, and I'll buy you it. First place, Ferocity by Eric
Yay!
Whiteley.
You can play something.
Whiteley. There you go. So Whiteley wins. Now we're going to go through.
big upset there.
It's like, yeah, who knew? So what we're going to do now is go through and do honorable mentions and what we call paper plate awards, which are the shitty little award that you'd make in your garage and say, I liked it.
It's got macaroni on it.
It's got macaroni on it. Yeah. But, you know, it.
Yeah. You're going to come home from college. It's still
but
on
unlike,
the fridge.
Unlike the real awards, it comes from the heart. The real awards come from numbers. It comes from numbers.
Yeah. Fuck your actual winning.
Yeah. The actual. Yeah. Anyway. Obviously, congrats to Eric and Ricky and Antoine and Maxwell. But what were some other ones that stood out to you guys this year, just around the room, throwing potluck style?
I think we all have a very soft spot in our heart for, I forget the name of it.
Hilltop Duel?
Hilltop Duel,
Hilltop
man.
Duel, man.
Seriously?
Those
guys,
crazy kids.
If you're listening to this or you get a chance to listen to this, we really, really dug what you did. Keep doing it. Don't stop. Like,
put some shoes on. For
put
God's
some
sake.
Shoes on. There's broken glass. There's hepatitis. Like,
you'll put your
eye
out.
You know what that is? Ask your mom. Like, it's. But no, for real. Like, you guys did a really, really good job, and you guys have you guys are starting with a high level of skill in a couple areas, and if you just fill in those others, you're gonna have a lovely time.
I'm gonna throw one in for Rise of the Fallen.
That's mine too.
Revenge of the Fallen or the
change
of the
title
or whatever.
Just change that title.
The only thing I have, you know, that was badass. I was watching that one when the impale on the head thing happened. It was amazing. The only thing that stood out, and I mentioned it in the beginning before the broadcast too, but at one point there is a turbulent displace effect going on that the lens flare is under, which kind of caught my eye, but that's the only thing I can really say in terms of negative stuff. I just thought it was a really cool short, and I hope it has a long life on YouTube.
My band name.
Yeah, that was a really cool one. Just in terms of like being a short film in general, too.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
Cool. Anyone else?
Mike,
what do you got?
For me, honorable mention, the Sith and the Jedi, the all slow-mo one.
Slow-mo one, yeah.
Very, very impressive work altogether. Like we said, the fact that it can hold up for like 4 minutes of slow-mo is good work.
Sweet. Cool. And
good stuff overall. You know, good crap.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I want to throw in for the Infinity one, just a great example of creating a unique scenario.
The lightsaber reception,
Matrix of lightsabers thing, just of doing something different and creating a unique.
Yeah, that was Philip Poling's entry.
So I want to say too,
second one, the Jedi short. Like, I like that as a short film.
Joel Lucas.
So, yeah.
Cool stuff. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
This was a great year for the Lightsaber choreography competition. Hey, Ryan and Mike, it was 10 years ago that RVD happened. 10 freaking years ago.
I didn't want to be the guy who got all pedantic about it, but now that you brought it up, technically, this is the 10th competition, but this is not the 10th annual competition. The first one was in 2003. I don't remember which year it was.
So we lost a year somewhere?
No, I don't remember which year it was, but there were two in a single year. There were two competitions in a single year.
9 years ago.
So,
all right, cool. Well, 10 competitions ago.
We're coming up on 10 years since it was released 2003, so 2013 is going to be.
It's not like you guys are getting old and soon going to die or anything.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, this has been... yet another great year for lightsaber choreography, and another great year for competition, and another great year for us. So thanks everyone for watching, especially for all the people who entered and created wonderful shorts, and good luck with future ones that do enter next year. I don't know if we're going to be involved next year, but we'll find out. You know, we never know when we're going to be involved in this thing, but we're always happy to be able to do it, and it's a lot of fun. So for myself, Teague Christie, and Michael Dorkman Scott.
Yes.
Hello. No, we're doing that right.
Yeah, goodbye.
Anyway, my name is Teague Christie.
Oh, it's Mike Scott. There you go.
Trey Stokes.
Good night, Gracie.
Ryan Finifter.
Eddie Doty.
Ryan Weber.
Brandon Flight.
Thank you very much for watching and contributing, and have a good day. Please don't run barefoot.
Well done, everyone.
Good job, everybody. Hooray.
Good job, everybody. Yay.
Hooray.
So vapes liked LCC before it became all political.
Yeah.
Pretty underground.
Yeah. Now they were saying how